listen to me carefully, you fat tub of goo.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.FM.
Right here.
Good afternoon, Great Barrier Reef and Piatone. An episode of Sex Sent Me to the ER will air tomorrow night on TLC and feature an episode where a man superglued his hand to his penis. The night before the incident, the patient was fixing the lamp.
I don't know what that means.
Next to his bed, and he left the superglue tube on the nightstand next to a tube of lubrication he kept on hand, no pun intended, for when he and his wife were in the mood.
Spectacular mistake.
Well, he got in the mood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grabbed the wrong tube.
The man's a menace.
And whoops.
Do not touch it. It is dangerous.
Hand sticks to his baby maker.
Shake that.
Thank God he hadn't started carnal knowledge. That would have been a funny arrival to the ER.
Oh, no.
I just keep a glass of water on the nightstand. How about you? A toothless man in Washington State was charged with assault after gumming the wrist of his roommate because she would not clean his ear. I'm going to guess these two won't get their security deposit back.
You're right.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes.
My nipples explode with delight.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Super G Streamliner Blabbin' Cabin on the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago.
I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. Oh, no, no. I get a good feeling, yeah.
Jim Ramsey is in for Tom Skilling. Hey, Jimmy.
Hi there, Gary. How are you?
Good. 312-521-8600 is the phone number and the text number. Jim, I got this text that says, Gary, lately there are a couple minutes of dead air right before your show on .FM. It always makes me think today is the day they fired you.
You know, there's
fix
about
it, please, before I have a heart attack.
It's more than a couple of minutes.
I haven't... Well, I'm in the office, and I haven't listened to how this starts, whereas we've got the 3 o'clock, top of the hour, Castaway, yeah. Boat Horn, and then the Spartans. What's on right before that?
Nothing.
Not anything?
Not diddly squat.
Well, then it's dead air until when? From when?
Well, it's
from
kind of
Johnny's
exciting.
Show?
I don't know. Sometimes I just,
that
you
can't
know.
Be.
Well,
I thought Johnny came right up to us.
I thought they replayed Johnny's show. Hey,
well, maybe
Craig,
maybe Craig. My little iPad isn't programmed to pick up that.
Craig, what is on before my show? What do they do?
Jonathan Brandmeier rebroadcasts.
Yeah. And really? Do they stop it a few minutes before I start?
They just interrupt it. He can actually be in the middle of a sentence, and then you'll just come on.
Why isn't his show over if they start it right after he's finished?
I don't know. It's not always timed exactly right. I think he goes over, he goes under, so...
No, he's done at 9. I've heard the show. He's done it at 9.
Well, I think it might be short sometimes, so they're playing just a few minutes of...
Trying to fill?
Right.
Yeah. But this text here says that there's a couple minutes of dead air before I start, and they get worried.
Yeah, I don't hear it either.
You don't hear it either?
No.
Okay.
I'll look into that.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Around 5 o'clock, I'll ask another trivia question. The first 5 people to come up with the right answer via the email address of Craig, which is ccollins at
WGNradio.com.
ccollins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, at WGNradio.com. The first 5 who get in and answer correctly will be invited to the rooftop broadcast. Well, it's the rooftop of that section of the Tribune Tower on the 22nd floor, and that is Thursday.
There's no Jumbotron up there to block the views, is there? from this report?
No. If you are in an adjacent building, you'll be able to see all the action.
And real quick, the five winners that won yesterday came in within a minute of you saying, shoot in the answer. So try to do it as quickly as possible. 2 minutes can actually be too late.
Yeah, you have to do it right away. And then on Thursday, we'll be like, if the Beatles were broadcasters, it'll be like that. That was what they would have done on the roof of a major building in a major city.
Have we passed the audition?
What are you going to do on the roof?
Broadcast.
I mean, you know, is there a reason that roof?
Because we're in the Tribune Tower.
It's just easier to run the wires.
They own the building. And it was the most convenient way to do a remote right now.
What if it rains?
No.
You're the weatherman.
I defer to you. What is the weather for Thursday?
Thursday?
Beautiful.
Let's see. What did I do here? Thursday.
Now, he's asking me, what if it rains?
You're the
weather
Paul
guy.
Paul Conrad says it's supposed to be nice.
Well, it is. But here's the problem. One of the issues that forecast models frequently have is that the timing is sometimes off a little. And Wednesday is going to be cloudy with some showers and thunderstorms. So you better watch this, because if it's any slowdown of the system, you could have a problem.
All right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it'd be fun anyway, but, you know, you might be doing it to yourself there. Or by yourself.
I always do it to myself when in doubt.
Oh, yeah. Well,
there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
It's already scheduled. We're going to be there. And
we'll could put up like a funeral tent.
Yeah, a funeral tent.
You know what they call those things?
A funeral tent.
Yeah, you know. But,
as opposed to a wedding tent or any other tent?
Well, you know, I don't know.
How about a party tent?
I don't get invited.
Yeah, how about a party tent? That would be a better way to go.
Funeral tent.
What if it rains?
Eeyore.
I don't get invited to weddings.
You'll be doing it to
funerals,
yourself.
Everybody's welcome. Huh?
By the way, you're invited, Jim. You know that.
When is this?
Thursday.
At what time? 3 to 7?
Well, there's another thing.
Uh-oh.
I got an email that there is a shortage of engineers on that day because of various other radio stations in the group that have activities outside the studio.
Yeah.
And so they said, well, here's what you're going to have to do. Bibble can sit down in the studio and you can go up there.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, people want to see this man up close and find out what kind of oddity he is. That's part of the reason to pay for parking.
Well, yeah.
I have been part of the show for 5 years, too. It's not just,
well, yeah. Again, there's a need to see him up close because everybody can't believe that he's real. And I thought, well, we're going to have to rearrange this a little bit to make sure that everybody that's on the show.
He doesn't look anything like his voice, by the way.
You don't think so?
No.
Is that good or bad?
What do you think? If you didn't see a picture, what do you think?
Yeah, what does that mean?
He would look like?
He's dumping on me.
No, not really.
It's about time.
It kind of sounds like one of those guys that wears a white smock and sells, you know, cough syrup down at the drugstore. You know?
Like Mr. Gower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. He was going to be a pharmacist, not me.
That's right.
Well, you know, that's what he sounded like to me. But when I saw him, you know, it was a whole different picture. Of course, when I saw him, he was wearing a Santa outfit. Right. When people first saw me,
they said, I thought you'd have blonde hair.
Really?
I don't know why, but that was the comment I would get often. I thought you'd have long, flowing blonde hair.
You know, I thought you'd be taller.
Like Johnny Winter.
Yeah.
I'm 6'5". Well, how much taller as a white man should I be?
Well, you know, being, what, 4'6"? Is that what I am? Everybody looks tall, but I really thought you were taller.
All right. Well,
radio distorts the way we picture each other.
Man. Keep it coming.
He's got 2 more days, you know.
Wait till you hear the script I wrote for him. I thought, I'll just cut right to the chase, because this man wants to dig in.
Man.
I've already handled that, and that will be his theme on
his
script today.
You know, you're doing it again. Now, I didn't dig in yesterday. I was polite. And
oh, I
why would they
you.
Want to listen to
I'd
you?
I'd hate to see you and hear from you if you didn't like me. Because that has to be a volley of ugliness.
Who in Iceland would want to listen to you?
Me?
That's what you said to Gary yesterday.
No, I just said that I thought that's who was listening. You have to set this up. People may be listening today for the first time, and they don't know what I'm talking about.
Jim, I got this text. It says I'm number 46 in TuneIn Radio in the trend. And rising.
And rising.
Yeah.
And rising.
I broke the top three again yesterday.
Yeah, Belgium's tuning in now.
Sure.
Yeah.
They know it's on, it's live. So getting back to what has to happen Thursday.
Right.
In order to get around all that with no engineer,
yeah.
The show will start at 2, and that's only important for the people that are attending.
Mm-hmm.
And then that 2 o'clock hour will be shuttled down to the seventh floor and plugged in, and that will start the show. So it'll start at 3 o'clock to the listener.
Yeah.
But it's just an hour behind.
I wish you'd have started this like a week later.
What do you mean?
Because that would be only my second day off in 11 days. And I've got a whole bunch of stuff I've backed up to do now,
okay,
at the end of the week there.
Well,
so it's...
and then I'm going on vacation for a couple of weeks. So...
Again?
Oh, here we go. And wind up and the bitch.
How much vacation you get there?
Do you say that
you
to Tom?
You just came back.
Do you say that to Tom?
How long have you been working since your last vacation? 2 weeks?
Yeah, but I have to get it in before my daughter goes back to school, and they go back mid-August.
Oh.
So I have no choice. I hadn't taken one before that one a couple of weeks ago.
Then we're not off till Christmas.
Trending at number one. Is that true?
Really?
Leslie, pull it up and print it.
We beat BBC4?
BBC4 and CNN 6.
Really?
The mystery of the Malaysian aircraft
continues.
Remains a mystery.
President Putin talked.
Got it.
Am I number one?
Yep.
Number one?
Print
number
it.
One.
And number one.
From 46 to number one.
In
3 minutes. Yeah.
Wow, that's a new record.
Now you know the other one. There's 100,000.
You're printing that out? Because nobody's going to believe it if I say it.
Oh, no, it's
screen
here.
Capture.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You went from 46 to number one.
Number one, sir.
Yeah.
Because people love when you beat the bejesus out of
that's me. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I've got to
keep it going.
Yeah, I've got to cut
here.
That check.
Jimmy, I'm grabbing my ankles right now. Give it to me.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're... You know, you're probably the third or fourth most talented person in that studio.
And he does it again.
Yes, just when you thought he couldn't get any meaner.
Not mean.
And my whole week was kind of geared with no matter what his mood is, by Friday it'll be over, and then yesterday, I'll be on Monday and Tuesday, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's coming. Well, you want to stay number one, don't you?
How about that? Number one. There's out of 100,000 stations.
Yeah, but they
just
won't
so you
you
can see it yourself.
Let me see this.
Is there a little picture, or what does it say?
WGN.FM, The Gary Meyer Show, number one.
Of 100,000
stations. 100,000
stations.
Why aren't we putting this
4
on?
4 million podcasts.
And I can't get an engineer to push a button for me to do a remote.
Wow. All right, no, I'll stay down.
Wow, really? Number one. Out of how many?
100,000.
100,000? I mean, how many people on the other end?
Seven.
Seven
doesn't matter. So what? All right,
he's
so
trending.
Well,
so I'm the tallest
trending.
Midget. So what?
Now, can't you put that screen capture on the Facebook page and make that go viral or something?
Yes.
Wow.
Craig, let's share.
Keith, Craig, show that out there.
All my engineers.
Sending it to the boys
one,
right now.
One. Let management, maybe if they happen to see the Facebook page, see what's going on here.
So number one in the world.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
Yeah, in the world. I'm amazed.
That's even more than Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, probably.
And I didn't have a sex tape that had to be put out to get me there.
That's coming.
That's coming. Yeah, you and Jim and I have already danced on camera I was on that morning show.
Not with me.
With you.
Yeah.
You and I danced on camera.
Yeah, we did.
And this was way before people were accepting of such activity on TV.
Yeah.
We broke down some barriers.
You've always been a pioneer.
Yeah. I was Will and Grace before it was Will and Grace.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, he had pink sunglasses and a rosy boa.
I did.
Yes, you did.
Did she come too, Rosie Boa? She was there.
We slow danced, and it was sweet.
Oh, it was.
I love your cologne, buddy.
You
they
did.
Still make high karate?
Oh, no. I don't. That takes me back.
All right, Lisa's going to get in on this action. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Gary. I wanted to let you know as soon as you said you hit number one, it buffered.
Well, I can't. Wow. Who's responsible for the buffering? Is that the station, or is that just the way this
it's
technology is?
It's usually your web provider.
Your ISP.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What is buffering?
It
stops.
Well, it stops, and then suddenly you'll be hearing the start of the show, and then it'll go back to live. It's kind of crazy, but still.
But I love you, Gary, and I love this format.
Thank you, Lisa.
Go Freeform.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too. 312-521-8600.
That's what else we ought to do more often is give the phone number.
Okay.
You know, the old station that you worked for, you only gave it at the front end of the show or at the top of
I
the
did?
Hour. So, yeah, and I could never catch it.
Okay.
People would say, I want to talk to Gary. And I can't remember the number because he didn't give it enough time.
But the problem is it's people who are listening are already hearing the number. We've got to figure out how to get more people's ears on this.
Why don't you put that on your website? On the
listening right now need to tell two friends immediately.
And well, he's already number
Keith,
one.
Can you put the phone number and that is also the text number on? Is it on the web page and everything? On my Facebook page?
Yeah, it is.
It is. All right. Well.
Really?
Can you tweet it and Instagram it and Pinterest it and Foursquare it?
Exactly.
And what other?
Angry Bird it.
You know, if we could somehow photograph you with an adorable cat or puppy, we could get you viral a lot faster.
I need some angry animal with Grumpy Gear.
Grumpy Gear, yeah.
Grumpy Gear. Angry Jim.
Hey,
Angry Jim Ramsey.
Got that works.
Uh-huh. You're so creative.
And that's on TuneIn Radio.
Right.
What about, it says here, on iHeartRadio? They all do their own sampling, right? Their own trending numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed the cameras that were
they're covered,
veiled yesterday have been wrapped in paper again.
It looks like even more than usual.
They took the paper off the three cameras in the studio for some reason or another in the middle of my show yesterday, and then this morning, I guess, somebody must have had a fit and covered them up again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't do it.
No, I know you didn't do it, but again, I'd like to get on CLTV there in this first half hour with Tom, and then when you fill in, that'd be nice, because then you said you could enjoy it even better.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is I go home and I open up my little iPad and punch the buttons, and all you're showing me are two quarter notes. That's all that's on that black page, and the button that you listen. And it's kind of dull. I stare at it, but it doesn't do anything.
I picture you like that guy in Fargo, one of the two guys that did the kidnapping.
Oh, yeah.
And he's sitting in that cabin eating something, and he's watching this bad TV screen.
Oh, yeah.
And then he ends up being in a wood chipper.
Oh, he puts
Steve Buscemi
in the
wood chipper, yes.
Look, I built my whole afternoon around making sure I'm in front of that little screen at 3 o'clock. And I don't miss you and Tom.
I know you don't.
I listen, except when you're on vacation, then they repeat stuff I've already heard.
Well,
I mean, it's good the second time, but yeah.
Yeah, but they're not going to do fill-ins on this like they did on the AM.
Well, if you continue to be number one in the world, why not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's actually probably quite an accomplishment, you know.
Well, again, even if 100 people are listening, there are 100,000 radio stations and programs.
I mean, did you monitor it?
Wait a minute. You've gotten several thousand more listeners in the last couple days.
Last couple days?
Days?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because it says how many people are following you right now.
It does?
And yes.
How many people?
Thousands.
Thousands?
Yeah. Thousands, Jim.
You're kidding.
And growing incrementally.
How could that be?
Why would they? I have to go right to the script because it's all in this script that I wrote for him today.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll enjoy reading this. And we have an older script of Jim. Let's play one of those.
Oh, no.
See what you've done in the past, and then we'll do something current
that
I was inspired to write because of the way you've treated me this week. Here's the older one.
While staring at the ceiling when I can't sleep at night, I start to count to 600. When I'm done, that means another person has moved out of Illinois. Hi, everybody. Jim Ramsey here to try and sort out the nonsense. Yes, every 10 minutes a person moves out of Illinois. But you wouldn't know it with all the traffic congestion. Speaking of traffic, who was the stupido who designed our expressways? Most of them only have three lanes in and out of the city. Let's see. You've got a major airport attached to the second largest city at the time. And some knucklehead thought, just put three lanes in and out on the Kennedy. Anywho, Chicago really shines in the summer. Yes, those 8 weeks of summer we all live for can't be beat. We Chicagoans can cram a lot of living into 2 months. And don't forget to check out the new Trump sign on the Trump Tower. The ugliest display of five letters you'll ever see. Funny thing, the sign was approved by the city. But after it started going up and people saw what an eyesore it is, The mayor weighed in and said he really hadn't paid much attention to the whole process. Typical Chicago politics. On the other side of the coin, you have Wrigley Field, where the Ricketts family can't get a sign or a scoreboard up no matter what they do. As the signs outside our airports should state, if you don't grease the right palms, you are in for a very dry, painful rub.
That was very nice, and I'm going to talk to Jeff, and then we'll get to the new script. Jeff, you're on at 312-521-8600.
There you go. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Gary.
Hey.
Hi, Jim. I got an idea about you're trying to figure out how to get the number out there a little more often without, saturating the radio show. But, you know, if you're listening to TuneIn Radio or iHeart or the WGN app or whatever, as your show is streaming, there's a picture of your face on the front of the app. I was thinking if you overlaid your picture with the phone number, like at the bottom of your face there, then whoever's streaming the show at any given time can just look at the app and it'll have the number displayed there all the time.
Okay.
Makes
That's
sense
good.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that way you wouldn't have to keep saying it or whatever, and people can just, they don't have to look it up online or anything. They just got to look at the app and boom, the number will always be there.
That's a great idea. And, Keith, are you writing that down, and who can do that? How can we get that done?
I don't think I can do it, but I can find out who can.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then it's right there all the time.
Yeah, you've got some smart IT people there, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. Whenever the show is on, the number will be there. And I can also confirm that at the end of Johnny D's replay before your show comes on, WGN FM, there's always like a 60-second or so gap to the end of where they cut him off and your show starts. So
yeah?
I don't know why that is, but yeah, someone had texted it, and every day it's like that when I listen anyway.
Well, starting very soon, at least 3 out of the 5 days, David Hochberg's show will start at 2, so he'll come right up to 3 o'clock, and it'll be that transition like you were familiar with on the AM. So that's 3 days.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's 3 days figured out, and we'll get the other two up to speed at some point.
Awesome.
Great, Jeff. Great idea.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Gary.
That was a
okay,
good
thanks.
Idea.
Have a great weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll get that done ASAP.
No.
And here is the second reading today. The first one was an old one, and this is your new one for today. Oh, before that, Jim, Leslie's on a very strict schedule, so I want to have her do her thing, and then we'll do yours.
Okay. I'll take a nap.
Okay.
An Indian. Thanks. Thank you.
He's a big fan of yours, too.
Yeah,
Leslie.
Yes.
I love
wow.
Leslie. It's
sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yahoo.
And, Jim, are you anxious and ready to do your new script?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm almost through with it here. I was reading this part.
You just
okay.
All right. Just read it for the first time, did you?
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Okay. All right, here is the script for July 18th, 2014, Jim Ramsey, and 3, 2, 1.
One of the many great attractions of Chicago is its incredible architecture, designed by architects who were famous the world over for their unique, timeless vision. One of the buildings that truly represents the beauty, strength, and reputation of the city is the Tribune Tower, perched on the magnificent mile of Michigan Avenue, just a stone's throw from the Chicago River. This landmark building was completed in 1925 and rises 462 feet above street level, covering 36 floors. Over 100 pieces from other iconic buildings from around the world are embedded in the edifice of the tower. Housed in T-squared are the writers of the Chicago Tribune and the various WGN radio properties. Within those radio properties works one Gary Meyer on the internet station WGN.FM. Recently, Mr. Meyer was clucking that his show was in the top 3 listened-to shows in the world, as measured by TuneIn Radio. TuneIn Radio monitors 100,000 radio stations and shows. Gary seemed overly excited about that recognition, to which I respond, "Oh yeah, I'm sure people in Mexico are walking around talking about the Gary Meyer show. Es muy magnifico. Ha ha. No doubt people sitting in cafes in Rome can't get enough of the Gary Meyer show on .fm. please try to convince me that people in Peru are peeing in their gaucho pants because Gary Meyer is on the internet every day. Please, Gary, I can't imagine that anyone in Tahiti gives a rat's arse about your impression of Lou Piniella. So if you're looking for some hot air on a chilly Chicago day, just walk by the Tribune Tower, my friend.
All right, you happy now? I gave you some ammunition. I need you just to say WGN.FM again.
Okay, why?
Because you said WGN-FM, yeah. And it's .FM. There is a distinction. Just say WGN.FM.
WGN.FM.
And we'll put that in.
Yeah,
and
put that in.
It'll be nice.
It'll be nice.
And I got Johnny from Michigan who'd like to say hello.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Jim. How did you like my photos I sent you guys?
I loved them.
Did you send Jim Ramsey the one of the topless woman in New York City?
No, I sent that to you personally, Gary.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't get that.
And I opened it, and it's, as said, it is a woman topless in Times Square, and she's painted her breasts because it is.
Yeah, her whole body was painted.
Was it the whole body? Because you sent it sideways, and I don't know how to flip it, so I had to turn my head.
Yeah. And yeah, her whole body's painted. There's more Times Square, like six or seven of them walking around like that.
Why?
And Johnny's got his picture with her. He's wrapped around her, at least his arm, and somebody took a picture of the two of them. I wanted to put it up on my...
Go ahead.
All right.
One of her friends, Paul, took the picture for us and gave her a couple of bucks, and she was really cool about it. So
I know it's legal to walk around topless in New York, but I didn't know you could go bottomless. And does she get around that because she's painted everything?
No, she's not bottomless. She's not bottomless. She wears bottoms.
I thought you said she was completely naked.
No, she's just topless. She wears bottoms.
Okay. So. I guess your thought of totally naked is a topless woman. That's why I said I saw her breasts.
It's cool. So yeah. She was cool about it.
She's walking around topless. I think she'd be cool about it. I want to put it up on my Facebook page, but I doubt if that will stay up because they're very weird about those kind of photos.
Mine's been on my Facebook page for about 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, my friends even commented on it. My cousins and Irene said, whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, Johnny.
Like 7-inch Lincoln. Whoa.
Yeah, well, yeah. My cousin Noreen is a Catholic sister, and she said, whoa. And that's what she said about it.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I the last time I did something like that, it wasn't even topless. It was a woman in a bathtub, and her elbows looked like breasts. I thought it was a funny photo.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Facebook
I've seen the armpit. Why?
Facebook went ape crap and threatened all the people linked to my Facebook page here that they were going to remove all of their Facebook pages. I thought this Mark Zuckerberg started his whole deal by raiding co-eds at Harvard.
That's how it started.
Yeah. And now he's policing.
Have you seen the armpit? Have you seen the armpit one?
The armpit one? What's that?
There's a woman with an armpit with her hair on the armpit. Says, relax, it's just my armpit.
Oh. No, send that to me.
That's on Facebook somewhere. I don't know where it's at.
Oh, okay, I'll look for it. But it's just very odd how this guy is now policing Facebook, and he started off doing what he was doing.
Really?
Jim, how was that picture of the Lincoln Memorial before a storm last week up there? How was that one?
Oh, that was very nice. Very nice.
Can you put that on TV?
As I remember, it was the only one that it actually probably would use, because the other ones were... The monument's a little too large in the picture, and you didn't get the...
Yeah.
You know, I could get a postcard of that stuff. But, had a nice shot of the clouds and so forth. Generally, I leave the pictures up to Tom. He does the picture segments, you know.
When I was in high school, I did photography. I did black and white photography about 20 years ago in high school, and I aced photography. So
really?
I'm trying to get my skills back together in photography again.
Really? Well...
So it was the... Lincoln Memorial with a storm coming.
No, it was a Jefferson Memorial
with a storm coming.
The Jefferson Memorial was sunrise, and Lincoln Memorial was a storm coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Jim got those, but he sounds like he's not going to put them on.
Yeah, I would forward them to Tom, probably. That's really kind of his area, you know?
You don't do weather photos?
Not as a rule. There are some exceptions to that, but they generally have to be things like a tornado blowing up something that we're familiar with, or, you know, that kind of thing. They don't give me as much time on the air, generally, so I don't generally mess with that, you know. Go ahead,
John. The only reason why I asked him is they took WGN News off WGN America now. There's not even a new news on WGN America.
Somebody told me they thought that was temporary, though.
But why would they do it temporarily? Why would they bother to run in the heat of the night reruns for a week or two just because there's been a demand for those shows?
You know, I don't know.
That doesn't
make
any sense.
Well, but, you know.
Well, Carol Connor's a good actor, great actor, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't speak to that. I don't know. That's it.
The reason why I called Gary was I was wondering, my family knows what's going on about me being on your show. And they want to make sure I'm not making this up, and they want to be sure it's on the up and up with everybody. So is it on the up and up?
Yeah, it's definitely on the up and up. My friend George Bliss is going to finance your trip here.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
Okay.
And I will have the details to you at the latest by Monday, Johnny, but it is locked down.
Hmm. Okay, so I'm coming Thursday then?
Yeah, probably Thursday morning. And then we'll get you some money for the hostel that night, and then get you the train ride. I guess you're taking the train, right?
Either the train. There's a way I can take a plane, but that would be kind of difficult. But the train would be easiest.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Up on a bus.
Yeah. The bus is in downtown Detroit, and that wouldn't be too bad.
No, I want to do what you're comfortable with, and you've been taking the train, so let's just plan that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
And hey, Gary.
Yeah.
My cousin was kind of worried. My cousin Maureen, she was kind of worried that I wasn't on the up and up. So I got to talk to her today, let her know it's on the up and up. So.
Yeah, it's on the up and up. I think it's funny. You just went to New York and Washington by yourself, and they're worried about this trip that you've taken to Chicago a number of times. What don't they think is on the up and up?
Because what's going on?
Oh, as far as
someone's paying for it.
Yeah. That's what they were. Okay.
Yeah. My cousin Noreen is very good to me. She's been helping me since my mom got sick and that. And she's a real good Catholic nun. So.
Yeah, George. Mm-hmm. My friend George has said he's going to pay the freight.
Okay. Anything more you can tell me? Will I get to meet Jim or anybody else around?
Jim Ramsey?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to meet
Jim
me.
Ramsey.
Well, I invited him, but he said he's got 2 day. That's his second day off after an 11-day run, so he can't probably make it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. I left Ursula a text message. I texted her today, and I left Amelia Carter, another friend of ours, that I left her a message last night on Facebook to get back with me.
Wow.
If you want to bring Ursula, if you want to invite her up, that's fine.
Okay, I left her a text message today we text each other and all that. So.
Yeah, okay. I'll get all the details to you at the latest on Monday, Johnny, but it is on the up and up.
I want to tell my social worker what's going on, and I got my people that take care of me here, so they got to know what's going on.
Yeah,
so.
I'll make sure they have all the information.
Now, the other thing was, just thank you very much. It's a very just wonderful thing you guys are doing for me. Thank you very much.
Well, glad to do it, Johnny. You've been a nice addition to the program.
Okay. I'll get back to what you guys are doing. I'm listening online, and thank you very much.
All right, Johnny. Have a great weekend.
Nice to talk to you.
Hey, Jim. Thank you very much. I just wish I could see you guys on the news a lot. The one of the things I'm looking forward to is seeing that new one called Manhattan that's going to be on. That might be kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's the latest from WGN America.
I think all this stuff is streamed on the Internet. Yeah, so if you you can't get it on satellite anymore, then you can pick it up on the Internet.
Yeah, that's their next big rollout after that
Salem was interesting to me because my dad's mom grew up in Massachusetts in New England.
And she was a witch.
And she grew up in... She grew up in Fall River down the street from where Lizzie Borden was.
Oh,
man, you are connected to some of the most interesting people, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. My family is a lot of interesting people in my family, including me.
Well, Johnny, you're leading the charge now. All right, we'll talk on Monday.
And God bless. I'll talk to you Monday. Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Faye.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hey, Faye.
Hi, Faye.
Hi. I put you on speaker while I was listening.
All right.
I called before just to say that love the show.
Thank you.
I wait for the clock to hit 3, and I turn on my phone and, you know, get it going because there's no radio available before, you know, at that time. So wait for you guys. And I was saying to your producer that it's just working out so wonderfully. I have you in the car, and I'm usually driving at that point and take him to the grocery store with me and laugh. And
well, it is a little more complicated than just turning on the radio, but it's working
smoothly.
It is available. And if you have that FM transmitter, that sounds like the easiest way to go.
Yeah, I'm going to look for that because I think it's doing a job on my phone charges. But we'll see if we can hook that up.
All right.
And I also said that, you know, a little bit, I thought you sounded sometimes, kibitzing around, but a little bitter. But the truth is, I was talking to my husband about this, and he said, they put the best one on to try out something new. So,
Referring to me or Jim Ramsey?
It's got to be you.
He's very bitter. And it's starting to rub off on me. I think that's what it is. I was fine. And then he just started to be bitter.
Oh, you haven't been fine in a long time.
The other thing is that you're obviously, everyone's entitled to vacation. They can't work out anything to, you know, a substitute, a fill-in for you, some, you know, great personality that could fill the time in. So when you're gone, we could still tune into WGN.FM?
No. That's what they like about this, that it's rather low maintenance. By low maintenance, just putting on reruns, whereas they'd have a fill-in host. Who would that be, though, when you think about it? Who could they get?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's not like nobody else can do it. It's just, this is a different format than the AM, and if you're not used to radio at all, if that's what you're indicating, this could be quite a chore.
Well, you know what's interesting about this show is there's nothing else like this on radio. I mean, you have a really distinctive way of handling the show.
Well, it's just the way I decided to do it when I was given this. And it's still a work in progress, I will say that.
Yeah, I've noticed it.
Oh, there we go. Wow.
Well, we're enjoying it.
Oh, thank you, Faye.
I was worried when, you know, the change came, like, oh, no, but it's... For me, I'm finding it's working out really well, and, you know, good luck to you, and, you know, you should just continue to entertain, and, you know, like when we turn you on, you feel like, you know, you're part of the family.
Well, we've been together a long time, depending on when you started listening.
Yeah.
What a nice person.
Thank you, Faye. Have a great weekend.
Well. You too. Thank you. Right. Be well.
You've got some great listeners.
Passive aggressive.
Well, who?
Who? Look in the mirror.
I've seen some passive-aggressive people.
Wow.
But, Jimmy, you are...
I'm
not. He's not even passive at this point.
He's getting aggressive-aggressive.
Right. Yeah, it's not even passive. That's true.
It's just
aggressive.
It's aggressive-aggressive.
Not aggressive?
Yeah, well, it's a work in progress. Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, I could tell.
You got that right.
Well, hey, I mean, you can't hit a homer every day.
Oh, my God. How big is this shovel? How big is his shovel?
Look,
he just keeps digging.
You're number one in the world. What do you want? You know? I mean, come on.
You play golf with Steve Cochran, too?
Me?
Is that what it is?
Huh? Is that what he thinks?
Jimmy,
how many slots has he fallen since we've had this conversation?
Who's writing those lines for you?
Nobody.
Yeah. I'm falling now, right?
We're down.
Down.
Well, how far
doesn't
down?
Matter, right?
I'm not even listening.
Is he still in the top 300 or 400?
Keep it up, Jim.
I don't care. I got it on a piece of paper that at one point was number one. That's all that counts.
That is amazing. No, that's not all that counts.
Hey, when you
that could be a programming error. You know, I mean, come on.
Jim, we're going to do the weather now.
Oh. He hasn't even done his script. Oh, he did his script, right?
I did the script.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was that memorable.
And here's Jim with the weather.
Okay, we've got some early clouds out there. We expect the skies will clear after midnight tonight. Low temperature this evening, about 61. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, up to 84. The warm air is returning. Sunday, up to 87. Hot and humid Monday. High of 92 and 93 for Tuesday. Wednesday, becoming cloudy. Storms likely, and a high of 84. Currently, it's mostly sunny, 79 at both airports. The lakefront, though, a little cooler at 72. Wind southeast at 13, and the water temperature 66 degrees. Gary?
Thank you, Jim. Have a great weekend, and we'll tussle on Monday.
Okay. All of you have a nice night.
Thank you. 312-521-8600.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he stated several weeks ago, just dial it down. Don't expect too much, and you'll be better off. And he is trying to get me to stay down there.
Every day has been a different...
Yeah.
But today was the most venomous.
Well, he likes to build as the week goes on. He started off Monday fine, and as the week progressed, it just kept getting dialed up.
It's bile radio.
Well, he can't. I'm sure he'd like to let it out over at the TV station, but they don't have any capacity to do that.
No.
And when he gets on this, it's probably been building for decades.
Oh.
And now that I've had him on, it's coming out. But he's probably ready to go postal over there at some point. Thank God I've let it out a little bit for him.
Yeah. I don't even know if he realizes... Do you think he realizes what he's saying when he just goes, yeah, it's a word.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if he...
I think he's trying to be funny.
He's either a genius or he's completely oblivious. I don't know which one.
He's too sweet to be
he's trafficking
a genius.
In some dry humor. That's what it is. Jill?
Gary, I just have to tell you that little bit of dead air before your show, I'm kind of hooked on it. It's like... When you want to get someone's attention, you whisper, you don't yell, and there's this silence, and then the alarm goes off. I'm like, it's Gary.
Yes,
I kind of like the dead air. It's just a teeny bit.
Is it? I don't know. Like I said, I haven't listened to it through any device yet.
I turn on Johnny at 9 o'clock, and then I get to listen because I'm out on the street then because I'm delivering mail, and then he'll play sometimes. An hour, sometimes he'll play all the way up to noon, and then again at 2 o'clock, they throw him on for an hour before your show. And sometimes I catch the same piece, and sometimes they'll play like the part I missed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of strange what they're to kind of chop it up a little bit. But yeah, usually he's done, but sometimes they get a mid-sentence and they just chop him off.
Well, this is a different, this is a different way to listen to a radio program. Back in the day when it was live on AM or FM, when it was out there, unless you recorded it, and I would imagine not many people did, that was it. You either heard it or you didn't. And now, with podcasts, which this show is every day, I think we've got that fixed finally. There was some up and down on that all week, too, where I said, oh, the show will be on podcast a couple hours after the show airs, and then people would start the emails. It wasn't on there. We got that taken care of. Keith. Producer Dose is now in charge of that, and by, 8 o'clock every night, the podcast is up?
I had it up by about 7:15 yesterday.
By 7:15, before 8 o'clock, let's give them a little wiggle room. And
they were behind a little bit on the podcast, but it does seem to be caught up now.
Right,
yeah.
We eliminated the person that wasn't doing that right. And the whole show...
The
whole show
is never to be seen again.
The whole show is replayed from 7 to 11, right after it's over at 7.
You're screwing with my
ears. I miss your opening, and then I miss it again, like right at the end, because usually I get to listen to the middle for sure. I'll catch it right at 8. I'll play it again. It's kind of nice.
So at 7:50 tonight, if you want to hear yourself, there it is.
Oh, not really.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to just tell you that, yeah, it really works out well, and it's fantastic. You know, and we get more Gary at the end of the day.
Thank you, Jill. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
You know, there's about 30 seconds when the engineers give us the word that we are on and recording, and then that's when Leslie's going to get started. So there is... That's probably exactly what there's about 20, 30 seconds maybe.
Yeah, of silence.
Of them saying, okay, you can go whenever you're ready, and then that's when he hits the thing. So,
all right. Again, and I mean, the man who's going to be on from 2 to 3, 3 days a week, will be on with me in a few minutes to explain when that is going to happen, Mr. David Hochberg, who has his own show and also finances my various items that I've given away over the years, the Dickies, the Muffs, the Pins.
The old
umbrellas,
the old media.
The old media.
Stuff.
And we're working on whatever that new idea is. We haven't decided yet. And he is in the other room ready to talk, and I'll do that in just a few minutes. I'm going to talk to David Hochberg here in a minute. First, Eddie on the blower. Hey, Eddie, what up?
Hey, how's it going, Gary?
Well, hold on. Top of the hour.
Hello.
Top of the hour.
Hello. Oh, sorry.
Spartans! What is your profession?
All right, now your turn.
All right. Well, I'm going to win a prize then. At the top of the hour. Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Pittsburgh, and I hear you and Bibble talking about Pittsburgh all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I moved up here to Kenosha, Wisconsin out of college back in 1967. And last time I was back, it was about 6 years ago. And the way you guys describe it is just, you know, the way I saw it 6 years ago. But back in the 60s and 50s, if you saw the movie Out of the Smoke, that was filmed in Braddock, Pennsylvania, and that's where I was born. And if you saw the movie, it's a ghost town. But do you stay right in Pittsburgh proper?
Yes.
Do you guys go out there?
It's a thriving city now. In fact, through the recession, they did not miss a beat as far as staying on course because they had retooled after all the steel mills went out many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So they had
yeah.
to go through that. When that happened, and when the recession hit about 7 years ago, they had no problem. And the city, very livable, very nice city. They've got a lot of new stuff downtown.
Oh, yeah.
If you've been, are you a baseball fan?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
You got to go to PNC Park.
Yeah, I used to go to Forbes Field.
Well, wait till you see PNC Park. It's magnificent.
I've seen it from top of Mount Washington.
Well, get down from the mount and get over to the park. It's right across the river.
Get
Come
to
on.
The promised land.
Let's go, Eddie.
But it's beautiful at night. You know, so.
Yeah, they are doing a real good job of moving that city forward. And it's livable. The cost of living is a lot easier than Chicago and suburbs, I'll tell you.
Do they have a good mayor? Do you know who the mayor is?
There was a real young guy. I think he was in his 20s when he got elected because the other mayor died in office. And this other guy, I don't know if he's still the mayor.
But it just seems like, obviously, somebody's running the city that knows what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing. They're just finishing a new 40-story building.
I want to see the Blackhawks play the Penguins in that new arena they have there.
In the new one, yeah.
Yeah.
But the old one was beautiful in the summertime. That roof would open up, and they'd have concerts there and everything. The old Civic Arena was just fantastic. And where you're talking about the redoing the city, when I left, like back in the 60s and stuff, it was getting to be known as the Renaissance City. And they started to do all this stuff.
Well, it's
because
working.
When I was a kid, the skies were orange from the steel mills.
Orange is a nice
black
color.
Smoke.
Black is the smoke. Yeah, that color you don't want. But orange? Yeah.
Just meant there was no Pope.
Orange.
Yeah. where in Wisconsin do you live, Eddie?
I'm up in Kenosha.
And you've been there ever since the 60s?
Yeah, since 1967.
How do you like K-Town?
K-Town's okay. It's still a blue-collar town. They're trying to bring things in, but back in the early 70s and stuff, if we had bands that played on Rush Street in Chicago, and up here we charged $1 cover charge, nobody would come. But they'd drive down to Rush Street to see the same band.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It was just, it just couldn't keep the people here. But downtown Kenosha is doing real, real good. I mean, your morning show on that other AM station, whatever it is, but they did live broadcasts from up here and everything. It's turning around.
Now, blue collar, that's a nice color. Orange collar is not good. Now, you want to keep these colors right. Blue collar, good.
I worked at American Motors, Worked at American Motors. They closed up, and Jockey closed up, and everything just, you know, now. But they're still trying to get that casino up here. So.
Yeah, aren't we all? All right, Eddie, have a great weekend.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you. David Hochberg here, and David told me that starting when you're going to be on 3 days a week at 2 to 3.
2 to 3.
And that means there will be no space on those days when I go on and you come off.
Yeah, between starting next week, we're going to be on Wednesday and Thursday from 2 to 3. And then the 2 weeks from now, we're going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a full block. So next Thursday, we start the show Body by Block. The plastic surgeon, Dr. Stephen Block, out of Highland Park is his main office. He has a medical spa in Highland Park, and he has a medical spa in Glenview at the Glen. And he also does all his operations, all of his plastic surgery operations out of his facility in Highland Park. So So we did a test run show yesterday. Sounded great. And we're going to launch it Thursday at 2 o'clock. Great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, great, really. And, you know, the great thing about him is he's his own crash dummy. He tries all of the stuff before he presents it to the public. He injects it into his body. So everything that all the Botox, all the collagen, all the other stuff, all the treatments he does on people, all the freezing of the fat and all the getting the sunspots out of people's hands and chest and all that stuff, he does all that stuff on himself. He tries it on himself before he lets any of his patients try it. And if it doesn't work, he doesn't buy the machine. So it's a pretty novel way. So I said, so you're like the crash, the test crash dummy at GM that goes to the windshield. He's like, nobody's ever presented it to me that way, but yeah, that's what he does. So he's a
and if you go through the windshield, he can fix you up.
And he can fix you up.
You should see his lips.
He's got great lips.
Yeah.
He really does.
I might want to get something injected.
Yeah, from a heterosexual man to another heterosexual to other heterosexual men. He looks fantastic.
Easy.
Oh, and his
eyebrows haven't moved in 4 years.
Well,
and when he drinks, it all dribbles out the side of his mouth.
But he looks fantastic.
He looks fantastic. Looks fabulous. So who cares about that? It's all good.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of getting my belly button stapled.
You should.
And get that out of the way. I don't need that many openings.
I don't want to go there. Yeah. Contoured is what he called it. Body shaping.
Contouring. Have you had any work done? Or are you thinking of having work done?
I think about having work done all the time. But he told me, I said, so Doc, I'm about 270 on a good day. And he's like, you're too fat for... he's like... You got too much. He's like, you got to put the fork down first there, buddy. He's like,
you're too fat for what?
For liposuction. He's like, it's not going to work.
Is that the whole idea?
No.
That's like closing the beaches when it's hot.
No. Liposuction, and he even said it. He's like, if you want to go in there and start sucking it out and come back every 6 months, he'll do it because you want him to do it. He's like, but if you really want to see permanent results, it's better if you go on a diet. If I lost 30 or 40 pounds, and go in there and get the excess that I can't work off, and he'll contour the body to where it should be. A lot of these people go in, and there's a whole new technique. Have you heard about this fat freezing that's going on, where they cryogenically freeze the fat through your skin? It's this new machine where he puts gel on you, and he rubs his wand over your fat areas, and it literally freezes your fat cells, and you pass it out organically. I'm not going to go into too graphic detail here, but it kind of flushes it
out. Like ice cubes?
No, it comes out. I don't know. I'm not there in the toilet to check out your stool to see what it looks like, but it eventually flushes out, and I'm like, so what happens to that area? He's like, well, the good news is it goes away. The bad news is fat cells never grow in that area again. So when you gain weight, it doesn't go to your stomach anymore. It goes to your arms, or goes to your hips, or goes to your rear end. It goes to other parts of your body. So if you're doing it, you better be really, really conscientious about keeping the fat off. Because if you put it on, you're going to have a really skinny stomach, but real fat arms. Okay?
Or like
real
Popeye.
Exactly. It's going, but it's not muscles with the spinach. It's going, it's all fat. So he was telling, it's pretty interesting. I was fascinated through the whole thing. And then starting in 2 weeks, we have the head of urology at Northwestern Medical Center, North Shore Medical Group, they're called now, I'm sorry. He's Dr. McGuire is doing a men's health show. We're going to do it from 2 to 3. That's going to be every Wednesday. I'm moving my show from Wednesday to Tuesday to accommodate the doctor because he has operating times all day Tuesday and office hours Tuesday, so he can't do it. But his show is going to be Wednesday. I'm going to move my show to Tuesday. And he's going to do a men's health show, call-in show if people have questions about whatever.
Well, it's good that a urologist is on the stream.
Exactly. Very good. Tip your waiter. Two drink minimum.
That's good. Flow Max.
Exactly.
Flow Max Radio.
Yeah.
You're not a candidate, he said, to have the liposuction, but what about the band? Would you do that?
No, you see, I'm not as... He doesn't do that. That's not his procedure. But what he was saying is he gets a lot of people that do the what's that called? The
gastric band?
Gastro bypass. And he was talking about a lady who lost 150 pounds, and what happens is you've gained so much weight over the years that your body expands and your skin expands. So when you lose it, there's no place for the skin to go except to have it surgically removed. And what happens is that it becomes an apron on people because there's no fat or muscle under there to support it, and it's not hygienically, it's dirty because you got that fat layer hanging over, and guys in trucks are driving trucks in 90-degree days like you know, get sweaty and it's uncomfortable and they can't move around. He said a lady came in, lost 150 pounds. He did a, I forgot what the term is, but he did a ribbon all the way around her, removed it, an entire patch of skin, 20 pounds of skin. He removed, they weighed it up, it was 20 pounds of skin. So she went from losing 150 pounds to 170 pounds after he got done doing the surgery, felt like a brand new woman. Okay, you know, you're carrying around skin. Now she's able to exercise. She can't exercise carrying around all that excess skin. So he works with extremely obese people that have done a major weight loss, some of them through the gastro bypass surgery. Some of them just, you know, said, hey, I'm tired of being overweight. I'm going to go on a crash diet, or I'm going to go, not a crash diet, I'm going to commit myself to eating healthy and change my lifestyle. Lost 150, 200 pounds. Skin's got to come out somehow. You got to cut it off. That's the only way
it's
coming
out. I know some people that have done that band.
Yeah, and successful.
Their stomach is reduced to the size of a parakeet stomach.
Yeah.
You'll be out to lunch or dinner with them. They'll have a bite of a sandwich.
That's it, and they're done.
I am full.
Yeah.
And here I am. I'm just getting into it. And they're ready to go to the dessert, which is a spoonful of ice cream.
Right.
And then they're done.
I know somebody that had that, and they had five little shrimp on a plate, and they ate two, and they're like, okay,
I'm full.
I can't have it.
My dad has lost about 150 pounds.
He's had it done?
He had it done, and so has my brother. He'd had it
done.
Well,
if he didn't have it done, I was going to say, is he ill?
No. He had it done. I didn't. He had it done a year ago at Advocate at in Elk Grove Village. I've got the hospital. Great, and it's like a... It's like a conveyor belt there. They've got this thing set up, and he's in his 70s. He had it done. He's lost about 150 pounds. I mean, he was a big dude. I mean, I look at my dad, I'm like, wow, it's a completely different guy.
Yeah, the people that have gone through these procedures, when you see them, and say you haven't seen them in a while.
It's amazing.
Whoa. As Lincoln would say, whoa.
But you got to take a double take. You're like, is that my dad? You know what I mean? It's like...
Sometimes their head is too big for the body, and they've got to get that shaved out. I don't know how they do that, but you've got to get it shaved.
Okay.
Take some scalp off.
Right.
I should talk to Dr. Block about that and to see if there's a procedure to shave your head down.
Put it in some kind of helmet and then just turn it on, shaves it down, because everything's out of proportion.
I agree with you. And then, you know, my dad's actually working out as a 70-year-old guy, and he's eating healthier, so it's a whole thing. And it's a lot of, it's like you said, 6 or 7 small meals a day, and it trains their body, because that's how we're supposed to eat, right? We're supposed to eat, you talk to any nutritionist, you talk to any doctor, if you want to stay healthy, you eat 6 small meals a day, you keep fuel in the engine, and it's constantly burning, and instead of just crash dieting and not eating, and then you start burning the bad, you start burning muscle instead of fat and all this stuff. So it taught him how to eat, and then my brother did it, and he kind of blew through the stop sign. It didn't do anything on him, so, you know, you've got to be committed like anything else. Got to be committed.
Well, some people drink shakes.
Yeah.
And so your stomach, you're not filling your stomach with food. You're filling it with a very, very high
protein
calorie
right.
thing that goes through you. So you still gain weight even though your stomach isn't getting full.
Or you have fries and fried chicken and pasta and meatballs. And you know.
What was that item, that ingredient? Was it Olestra?
Oh, that big
people.
Yeah,
that was in the potato chips.
It was in the potato chips.
And you would eat the stuff. And
you'd get
actually,
cramps.
Yeah, people
were
getting
and then
real
you would
sick.
Eliminate it within about 20 minutes.
Yeah. It would go through like a freight train.
Oops. Now it's called Taste of Chicago.
On a 90-degree day.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was it hit people differently. Because I had it. It didn't impact me. But then a buddy of mine had it. And he made the beeline right to the bathroom because it impacted him differently. It's crazy how that chemical or you know ingredient whatever it was, it completely whammoed people. I mean, it took them down. I mean, I heard some people like couldn't move for a long time because it just tied them up, knotted them up inside. It just made them cramped up. And
well, happy
you know,
Friday.
Yeah, you know, enjoy your ride home. Hope you're enjoying the show.
It sounds like the middle part of the day here will be infomercial type shows. Could use a term.
Infotainment. Informational-tainment, as I like to call it. You know, yeah. And these guys are paying for the show, and, you know, we're trying to develop that segment to where people could come, because there's that business show from noon to 2, and then there was nothing from 2 to 3, and then you got locked down from 3 to 7, and, you know, there was nothing there, and we're just trying to bring people to get information, okay? And the great thing about it is, Dr. Block isn't selling his services. Great thing about me on my show, I'm not selling my services. I'm on the radio enough. I've got enough access to airtime with my ads, and I've got my own show on WIND on Saturdays. I come in here, like take calls, answer people's questions. I give out the information, and we're not saying call Dr. McGuire to have your testicles checked. Okay, we're not doing that. It's like, okay, you're having trouble peeing, and it feels like razor blades. This is what it could be. Okay.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, have a nice day. You know, you're having trouble getting an erection, Dr. McGuire.
And from 11 to 12, the ShamWow guy has a show.
And then that
Billy Mays.
Yeah,
he's coming back from the dead.
Yeah, right. Gonna have all his old infomercials selling silly Mighty Putty.
Yeah,
it's kind of tough to pour the Pepsi and see it soak up with the ShamWow
on the internet.
And then you try it at home, and you're like, yeah, how come it doesn't work?
And then the bacon bowl is from 9 to 10.
Yeah, and then Ron Popeil will be doing weekends.
Set it and forget it.
And the fishing mate? What was the
pocket
fishing thing?
Pocket fisherman
when I was a kid, right?
Well, we're on our way.
And then they had the Slice-O-Matic.
Slice-O-Matic.
Yep.
And they had the set it and forget it.
The Vegematic, or was that Dan Aykroyd?
No, Vegematic was Popeil.
He had the Bass-O-Matic on Saturday night.
I got to tell you, those items, though, we mock what we don't understand. I ended up buying,
right?
You've seen that lint attachment for your vacuum cleaner?
You bought that.
Yeah.
Does it work?
There are sections of stores now that have
as seen on TV.
And I bought that because how do you get behind the washer and dryer, all that lint down there, right, and that tube goes down there.
He sucks it right up.
Yeah.
Bed Bath & Beyond, literally,
yes,
when
section.
You walk in,
yeah,
it's right there. I swear to God,
I like 90% of those products. I always want to buy them because they seem like a definite product that I would use.
Well, you still have the Ginsu knives, right?
Oh.
And you cut up aluminum cans all the time.
just to relieve tension.
You never know when you're
You know what? Tomato! Celery! Watermelon! Aluminum can!
Remember the spray he had for the back of your head?
I bought that for a guy.
The hairspray?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Did that work?
I gave it to him at an office Christmas party. He didn't speak to me for 3 years. I swear to God. I bought it for him. It came in, and it came with the travel pack. It came with the big can.
Did he not know that he was bald?
Oh, he knew he was bald. He didn't want me to spray it on his head. I gave it to him as kind of like a Christmas gift at the Christmas party. And this guy was a prick, so I didn't care. I just did it anyway. You know. So and he took it the wrong way. Well, I took it exactly the way I meant it to take it, and he didn't talk to me for 3 years, which is good because I didn't like him anyway.
Yeah, but that rotisserie, that set it and forget it rotisserie,
was that great?
Did you have that?
I never had that. I always wanted to get one, but that thing sold unbelievable amounts.
The Glycionic Air.
Oh, right. He has the dried fruit thing. Yeah.
Oh,
and a juicer.
Yeah, everything. Uh-huh. And the pasta maker. I bought the pasta maker off of TV, and that thing was great. That was one of the greatest things I ever bought off the television.
It's too bad Jack LaLanne died because he had that juicer, too. He could have been on.
Yeah, you could have Jack
LaLanne
doing some East of Midnight show. I want to get one of those snake hoses that Bibble has.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
But then you got to be careful because they're very fragile.
Yeah.
You got to drain all the water out.
Two of mine broke.
Keep it out of the sun.
Come on.
I bought 100 feet worth, right? So it's like $20.
You turn the water off and it shrivels back up?
It was it worked great. I mean, in terms of shutting it off, I don't know. I went back the next time, turned it on, and there's water squirting out of the side. And I'm like, what the heck? And Steve Bertrand had mentioned that he had
that problem
with that, too. And I said, well, maybe I won't have that problem. And 50 feet of my 100 feet.
Right in the middle of it.
Yeah. Not even in the middle, right by the connector, which I thought was... So I was.
I haven't seen those in a long while. Maybe that's why. Maybe they were garbage and people.
Do you have that pad you stick in your shower and you scrape your foot over it and takes the calluses off?
No, I do that at my dining room table. Why waste time?
I married one.
Yeah. That's part of their lovemaking.
That's foreplay. That's pregame.
She scrapes his hooves, and then they have carnal knowledge. It's terrific.
Nothing like shedding some skin.
And you mentioned to me a few weeks back, we've got to come up with the next item to give away. And Rick Dano from Midwest Promotion Group.
Still with us.
He is on board to do the next thing, right?
Absolutely. As long as my credit card clears his credit card charging machine, he's on board. Now, listen, we've had a good run with products. I mean, you're the Dickie. You brought the Dickie back. I was driving home and you started talking. I called in. I'm like, let's go.
Got the Dickie.
We got the Dickie. And then you started talking to Tom Skilling about the muff. and you know, you were going in one direction, he was going
both directions.
In both directions, and and I literally almost drove off the road with the guy, and I was like,
what a better winter to have a month than this last one.
My God.
I hate to hear what David's going to do for the urologist.
Yeah. Sample cups.
Probably a, one of those
shot glasses.
Pee-pee boy statue.
There you go.
Where it comes out of his pee-pee, as you would say.
And sometimes if it goes slow, then that's why you need some work.
That's right. And then you call Dr. McGuire.
You have a bad stream.
Right, right. You pull down the pants and his number's right there.
It's smokeless ashtray, somebody texted. Remember those?
Oh, right.
Oh,
they
yeah.
used to suck it right out. Yeah.
That's a great
battery,
invention.
Battery pack, smokeless ashtray.
Well, I don't know how long you've been. You haven't been watching Shark Tank all that long, but a couple of years ago, but you may have seen a rerun. There's a guy that it's in Bed Bath & Beyond as well. He created some kind of a sponge with a smiley face on it. It's this. It's the silliest looking thing, but apparently it's this real strong sponge. It's in Bed Bath & Beyond in that same spot. It is the most successful product that has ever been on Shark Tank.
Just really? Because it has a smiley face
it's
on
this
it.
Little... It's this sponge that supposedly has all this absorption as well as can scrub, but it's got this smiley face on it, which makes it look fun, and they can't keep it stopped.
And those items, you know, they're a penny to make in China, and they sell for $10.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why every shark wanted to get in on it, because the
they saw
the markup.
Yeah, they saw the markup was nothing compared to what they could sell it for.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The markup is everything.
Well,
right.
I mean,
to what
it
they
costs
it.
Nothing compared to what
one of my
it
high school graduates, a kid I graduated high school with, Ralph Schwartz, sold was on the show, and those college logos, you see it on the back, the back windows that light up when you he created that with his partner.
I thought it was really dumb.
Well, it's very successful.
He's retired now.
Yeah, yeah,
he's 30.
Right, no wonder.
Yeah, I thought it was real dumb.
That's why I'm here.
He's not sitting on the seventh floor on a Friday.
Hey, he just had a breakthrough. That was real dumb. Oh, I guess I'm sitting here. Yeah, talking about my bins of junk.
I was like, who the heck would buy that?
Yeah, well, here's the guy who's bought every tchotchke that Elton John ever put out, and he's criticizing other people. Welcome to Holden Caulfield's world.
But I never thought, I mean, I guess that's not my thing. With
obviously.
Logos.
Yeah.
I have never seen that. What is it? It's a college logo?
Well, you can put any type of logo on it. Any Blackhawks, Cubs, Sox, Bulls. And what it does is it somehow... It gets stuck to the back of your window on the inside, and you can light it up. It lights up. It's kind of like I got a Blackhawk sticker on the back of my windshield above my stoplight that doesn't light up. It's just a static decal. This lights up at night, so you could see it. You know, in the day, you don't want to light it up, but I guess when the sun goes down, it's light sensitive.
I don't see why.
Okay.
You're a fan of the team?
Certain... People like certain things. Certain people don't.
No, hey.
And they're willing to niche and fill it.
And they're willing to pay $19.99.
Different strokes.
They're willing to pay $19.99 for it.
Is that how much it costs?
I'm sure it does. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Google Ralf Schwartz. Well, don't Google Ralf Schwartz. I don't want you to see any pictures of him on the internet. But it's the decal. It was the glow in the dark decal.
I totally remember it.
Him and his partner created it. And that's my guy, Ralph. I graduated Manny's High School in 1984.
There's a decal. You put it on the back of your car.
It lights up.
In the day, it looks fine. At night, it lights up.
But the problem is when you create something, and I've seen these programs on 2020 and these other investigative programs, somebody in another country will steal your idea, and then you're gonna spend money on a lawyer to chase these people around the world.
Well, that's what happens. They go to China to manufacture it, and the manufacturing guy goes, "Hey, this is cool.
Steal it.
This is great."
Oh, half the time, a lot of the people that are on Shark Tank, they don't initially. They're when they give the numbers, sometimes the numbers don't work, and so they ask them, "Well, what's going on?" And they say, "Well, I had a problem in China with a patent. Yeah. They stole my idea, and that happened."
And the item I'm remembering about that is it was some kind of plastic ball that women would put their bras in. To throw in the dryer so the bra because the bra would get attached to other things?
It was something like that. Did it
work?
So that got ripped off, and he said, and now I'm chasing my patent around the world because somebody ripped it off and selling it for half.
Have fun catching up with that. That's not. You got to get in, make it big. That guy Billy Mays and his partner, the English guy, it was constant. They had a show, a reality show, where people came to them with ideas, and they... And I found it fascinating because Billy Mays, I always loved Billy Mays because he's such a great salesperson. So was his other guy. And they would show the ideas that would come in, and the creative product was like a mini Shark Tank before Shark
right.
Tank.
Yeah.
And then they would take it to their guy who had the manufacturing plant and all that stuff, and then they'd market and show the call center where they would buy all the call time and all the TV, and they would track how it would work. It's just a fascinating how all the dynamics behind the scenes that go on to creating a, finding a product that meets the market niche, and then developing it, and then selling it at a price point that is successful. And these guys had such a knack. It was incredible how they would turn it around in a couple of months. It would be on TV, and it would be sold out. And then they'd go for another run and sell it out. It just, and then the inventor would be like, holy mackerel. Like, I remember one guy created a saw. One blade went one way, and another blade went the other way, and he was cutting through diamond plate. And what happened was all the fire department, and you could hold it in your hands. So it was kind of like a handheld Man of Life. You ever see those things with the fire departments come out to cut
the
people
jaws
out
of life.
Jaws of life? Well, this would be smaller so they could get in and cut smaller stuff so three or four firefighters could be cutting up smaller pieces, not waiting for the jaw of life to come in. And it was an incredible, it was so incredible. It sold out. And I see it as seen on TV. It's still being sold. And I don't know how it works, but one blade goes one way and the other blade goes the other. And as you cut through it, it just shreds whatever you're cutting. And it's a fascinating
Well,
device.
Let's give those out next.
Let's give
the Gary Meyer Jaw of Life.
Well, if you got one blade that goes one way, it could be the gay blade.
And which blade is which? I think we know.
I'm out on that one.
I had gastric bypass was 480, now 270. That's a tech.
There you go.
Wow. And 210 right off the top. Right.
What happened? I'd like to know what happened to the excess skin. I mean, did he have it operated on?
Well, call the doctor when he's
call
on.
Call the doctor Block next Tuesday at 2 o'clock. I mean,
right.
That's a perfect
well, we'll
example.
Talk next week then.
Yeah, we'll be on next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Leslie is here. She's going to step into your microphone.
The revolving door continues.
We've got five microphones, but the middle one, and by middle I mean the one
well, the
in between
ones...
the two on one side of this table is the tuned microphone.
Yeah. Right.
Otherwise, you're
going to
hear
like
complaints.
I'm doing tin can reporting. Well,
thanks,
I'm kind of doing tin can reporting anyway, but...
Gary Meyer, 50 Million Watt Blabbing Cabin. WGN.FM. Welcome to the Gear Force. Is Billy Joel in town? I have heard you and Craig talking
tonight
about all these different songs that Joel had done and your favorites and his favorites. Where is he?
He's at Wrigley Field tonight.
And then tomorrow is...
Blake Shelton is at Wrigley.
So they set up the stage and leave it up
they,
and
well,
figure, what the heck?
Well, probably. Well, I don't know. Don't you think they'd have to come in with all new stuff, though?
No, they've got to have one stage. That'll make no
sense. You think
sense.
So?
Yeah.
Doesn't Billy Joe have his own stage, though?
Well, there must be. Well, the stage is the stage.
Yeah, but when don't you bring your own stage? No?
I don't know, but it seems
well,
like if they've
point.
Got
no,
back-to-back
right.
concerts,
yeah.
cost-wise, somebody would say, hey, they might have the same promoter. How about we both do the same stage, save some money. You do Friday, Blake does Saturday.
Yeah, because they could not haul one whole rig out and then bring a whole rig in.
In a day. I guess they could, well, but why? That doesn't make any sense.
They'd have to start right after the one concert ended.
And what was this conversation you and Craig were having about? He's a big fan of Billy
he's
Joel.
He's a big, very, well, he's from the New York, he was born in the New Jersey, New York area. So, like Springsteen, Billy Joel and Springsteen are pretty much, if you're born in New York, in the New Jersey area, that's pretty
you
much.
You gotta love
either
them.
A Springsteen or a Billy Joel fan. So we were just talking about some of the songs that he's been doing on his set list and then some of the albums and just saying how, you know, he's kind of defined by a few songs, but when you start to look at his albums, I mean, he had a tremendous run from, say, 76 with the Turnstiles album, which had Say Goodbye to Hollywood and New York State of Mind, and then, of course, The Stranger, which that was just a song from that. That's a greatest hits album.
Yeah,
it's got about six
that
singles.
That was the same as that first Boston album.
Yeah.
Where if you were playing music on radio, you were just picking a different song off the same album going, this is good.
I mean, The Stranger has, as hits go, I mean, and that Stranger is a great song, too, the title song, but Just the Way You Are, She's Always a Woman, Only the Good Die Young, Anthony's song, Moving Out, and Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. That's all on
one album. Yeah. What was the album after that?
52nd Street, which had... My Life, Honesty, and those were the two big hits. But then there's a lot of other kind of deep cuts that are really great. And then after that, he had Glass Houses, which had You May Be Right, Still Rock and Roll to Me, Sometimes a Fantasy. What's that? Don't Ask Me Why. And then he had The Innocent Man, which had Longest Time.
After which album did the brother-in-law take the $90 million?
That was in the 90s. Yeah, but Billy made a pretty good buck for
yeah,
a while.
But it was mostly
in the mid-90s.
Depleted because of that, right?
Yeah, it was the late 80s, early 90s, where, as I said, I knew a guy that that was a guitar player for Elton for a while when they were doing that
combination
tour in the middle 90s. They were out after a show, and they got to know these guys pretty well because they were on the road with them for a while. And he said that they were out one night after a show, and the guy was commenting on the camaraderie that a lot of Elton's band guys had or something, or maybe that Elton had with the band or blah, blah, blah. And so this guy that I knew said, well, you know, my gosh, you're Billy's ex-brother-in-law, but still, the fact that he'd keep you around after you divorced, his sister. And he said, yeah, but one day, he made it just a cryptic comment. I can't remember. It was like, one day they're going to find out, or one day it's going to be all over. It was a really, and he said, when he said it, I didn't even understand what he was saying.
But now?
And then 2 years later, I completely understood what he was saying.
I think it was $90 million.
Yeah, oh, it was $90
million. $90 million.
Billy Joel said that he had $1,000 in his bank account.
And that's why he started the tour with Elton, to get some money back in.
Because that was like in 90, I think, 3 or 94, because Elton was actually supposed to tour and do a kind of a combo tour with Tina Turner at that time, because she was still touring and popular. And then that sort of fell apart, and Elton was going to do it, and Billy Joel called him up and said, look, first of all, A, I think this is a cool idea, but B, I really need to fill my coffers. And they only did, initially, about 10 shows. It wasn't a huge, like, month-long, months tour, but they were playing stadiums, and at that time, they were charging like $150 a ticket because of two of them. Now it's over two. When they would do those, it was over $250. But so that was in only 10 shows or so. That tour was in the top five of the whole year, and they only did like 10, 11 shows. So they made a nice, and then they saw cha-ching. To your
ding.
Paul McCartney, yeah.
That got Paul out and said, I got to now charge $300, ding.
So every couple of years, they would do that. And they did that through, 2010?
I have to say, these country and western stars, they don't charge that much. Even at
no.
the peak of their careers,
they
keep
fans.
The ticket prices down. And it says something about that whole country western genre.
Their
it
fan
really
base is very...
It's very tight, and everybody treats each other very well as far as their fan base.
In the Tribune today, I was shocked because, in the On the Town section, they talk about the big events that are coming this weekend. And so they're talking about the music, big music events. And so there's a small little headline about something about Wrigley Field. So I'm assuming it's the Billy Joel concert today. And instead, they were highlighting Blake Shelton tomorrow. They didn't even mention Billy Joel. And he's got the band Perry on there. On this is not just Blake Shelton. There's about two or three pretty major country bands that you wouldn't see rock stars sharing the bill with very often. Because the band Perry is they're a big, I guess. I'm not a big country fan, but I
know.
Heard of them.
I've seen them pick up some awards along the way. People that know that.
Yeah.
Music, know them.
Well, if you think about the concerts that have been at Wrigley now, a good portion of them have all been country acts. That Brad Paisley played there, Jason Aldean, Rascal Flatts. So it hasn't just been Jimmy Buffett's and Elton and Billy Joel.
And the Police.
Oh, the Police played there, that's right.
McCartney.
Yeah, McCartney. And then who else? The Wall. I saw The Wall there. And who else?
Did Buffett, the rooftop people complain about The Wall? when it was all the way up, or was that okay?
They made him blow it down. They didn't. They usually waited till the second act to blow it down. They made him blow it down the first act
because they needed to see.
Yeah.
But they can't see anything. But they're getting the audio from the concert. I saw that Billy Joel Elton John concert from a rooftop.
Yeah.
Or I didn't see it. I saw the back of the stage, which was a curtain. But you can hear it fairly well.
Oh, my gosh. I
so
heard
they're getting
that
for free, and they probably charge people to come up. The acts don't get any money from them for that, do they?
I don't think so. I think it's only Cub games. That's a good point.
I don't think they do.
It's not that
well,
many.
Well, I don't know if they if it's 17% of all Wrigley Field
events
though. I don't know. That's a good
the way they got that contract. It probably is.
Yeah. Well, but not only that. I mean, that whole neighborhood. I just saw online that there's at Sluggers across the street. There's a big, you know, pre-party for Billy Joel, post-party, and that whole neighborhood. I remember I left one of the shows, and there were people sitting on Sheffield on lawn chairs,
listening.
Yeah, yeah. So the whole neighborhood is involved, even though you might not be inside. You could hear that for blocks.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah.
312-521-8600 is the text and the phone number. I saw, as you probably did last night, the coverage of this Malaysia airline bombing. And I watched a little bit of this on CNN, and they had the same four or five shots that they looped. They kept going back to the same, hey, I know you want to see this over and over again. The pictures that I saw that were the most, I guess, most frightening, if you could catalog it that way. Somebody was holding up these passports, and they were in perfect condition. They hadn't been touched by fire or destroyed in any way. And then I saw today the picture of the luggage that looked like it was just
like
taken,
a carry-on.
Yeah.
Like, or just...
Or whatever.
Or whatever, right.
That it was just taken off the plane to be put on the conveyor belt. And now you start thinking that missile must have hit a part of the plane... And it's 9 miles of debris,
so the plane
didn't go straight down, and right. People probably were alive as this plane is going along and losing parts and everything else before it hit the ground.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with these idiots now? And they're saying it's the Russian separatists that did
it. And now Putin is saying now he's saying there needs to be a ceasefire.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Tell the 300 people's families that. You moron.
Boy, remember that after he died, there was that John Lennon. I was just thinking about that John Lennon song today. Nobody told me there'd be days like these. And he sort of runs down. This was the 1980. He runs down what was going on. And I'm like, boy, you could do a reboot of that song now.
Rain's
and say
days,
nobody.
Indeed.
Most peculiar. I mean, gosh. I mean, then what about Israel? They're going in with ground troops.
Yeah, they showed...
There's a real war going on.
They showed some of that bombing at night and the flames coming up from that little... And by little, I don't mean little at all.
No.
It's another area that's probably going to be going into a tinderbox situation.
And then we've got to...
What are we going to do?
Well, no, we've got
to... Go to war with Russia? No, really.
I know.
Yes, it's 17% for all events.
Wow, see that? So they do get a piece of Billy Joel.
Who would sign a deal like that? I don't understand why they didn't at least get a 50-50 split. Why wouldn't the Cubs give up?
They were complaining that the rooftops were stealing their product, and yet they only took 17%. Why wouldn't you take 50?
And as it turns out, they would have been better off taking nothing, having no contract, and then they're free and clear of that altogether. It is the weirdest deal I think anybody can come up with off the top of their head.
And then we have to brace ourselves for this weekend because I heard it's supposed to be 85 degrees. So we're going to have our own little mini
what
catastrophe with
shootings. You mean, yeah.
our weekly tally.
The retaliation for what happened the previous weekend.
So I can only imagine what Monday's going to bring worldwide and locally.
I watched, like I said, a little coverage on CNN, and that was all I needed to watch. Why? There's nothing to see, really. I mean,
and they
see
don't know anything.
The photos, and they know you look at it like you stop or slow down for a car crash. I don't know what is in our brain that likes to look at that, but we all do it. But beyond a couple minutes, there's nothing to say, nothing to add, but they'll stretch these shows out. I hate to say it, but these news operations, this is like... heroin to them,
especially in the summer.
Right, because it's a slow news time anyway.
They
won't admit this, of course,
but
they thrive on this.
Manna from heaven.
The ratings will go up or they would just stay stagnant otherwise. And a plane crash is the top of the sundae for them. This is the cherry on the sundae
because we all fly planes, so we're all afraid.
But it happens so seldom, so when it does happen and the wreckage and the amount of people killed, it gets everybody locked in for a little while. But
and
there's
this,
nothing to say after a few minutes.
Well, this one is just even more because you know that it was a deliberate act. So this wasn't just some,
mechanical function.
Engine fell off or something. This was an act of war, and now they're calling it an act of terrorism. I mean, geez.
It's 17% of the gross, so it's not as low as it seems. It's not net.
No, 17 out of 100 is not that much.
It's of the gross.
If I have 100 bucks and you ask me for 17 bucks, I'll peel that off in 2 seconds. Here, you want it? What do you want? 17 bucks out of 100? I'll take it. You take it. Go ahead.
It's funny how that was mismanaged all together. That nobody had the foresight to think, wait a minute, who signs 20-year deals? 99-year deals with the parking meters, 20-year deals with this. Who signs long-term deals like that? Because things shift so fast.
Well, the irony is that the guy that negotiated that deal...
Still with the Cubs.
Just got an extension. Not only still with the Cubs, just got an extension.
Good job.
Yeah.
We want you to stay on.
Yeah. Now, if they win this in court, maybe then, his stock goes up with the public. But clearly the Cubs team thinks he's doing a good job.
But look at the timeline here, because they won't be able to do this probably after this season.
Way
things are. Any of the big scoreboards, right?
They're
not going to have the big scoreboard up after this season, right?
No, not during this season.
No, obviously.
I don't know what you mean.
You can't sit here for the next 2 months because we're putting up a big scoreboard.
What do you mean until after the... What did you
say? They won't put them up after the 14 season. Isn't it really going to be if the... All deal starts, it'll be after the 15 season.
No, I heard that they are hoping to have at least one of the jumbo screens up by opening day 2015. Oh, yeah. At least one of the jumbos and another sign. So
they will have one.
They're
up.
Being aggressive. Yeah, they know that they've wasted a lot of time over the last 5 years.
312-521-8600. Guess who? It is Matt.
Hey, Harry.
How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just coming back from vacation in beautiful Savannah, Illinois. Just had a comment. Jim was talking about, nobody told me and how that's, you could reboot that and be the same today. You can go back way further than that. 1965, Eve of Destruction, Barry McGuire.
Yeah, that's the same theme.
I mean, yeah, you listen to that, it's the same thing today. The Eastern world is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, then what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating.
Tell me over and over and over again, my friend.
Don't exactly.
You see? I can picture
we're
him
on the eve of destruction.
In his suede fringe boots right now on Shindig.
Yeah, he used to be the, before he went solo, he was the lead singer of the New Christy Minstrels, like Green Green and all that stuff. That was Barry McGuire.
What's in Savannah, Illinois?
A little bed and breakfast that an old college friend of mine, her mom and stepfather run a bed and breakfast in Savannah, Illinois. It's a beautiful little town.
Where in the state is it?
It's right on the Mississippi River, just north of where Clinton, Iowa is, about an hour north from the Quad Cities.
By the Quad?
By Bettendorf?
Rock Island?
That's the Quad, just about an hour north of that, up the Mississippi.
Okay.
And about 15, 20 minutes north of where you cross the bridge to go to Clinton, Iowa.
I just want to know where little 7-inch Lincoln should go and promote.
Oh, it's a beautiful place, a little place called Granny O'Neill's Bed and Breakfast. It's just nice and quiet. You can get away from the rat race. It's beautiful.
All right, Matt, welcome back. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Hey, what about that, should I talk to Keith about the soiree?
The soiree?
The soiree. Soiree.
Is Matt part of the Whack Pack?
He's on the verge.
Well, I was he's almost jumping the shark. Last night and Bibble said I was.
Okay, that's terrific. Suddenly, the Whack Pack is all we can invite because everybody is now a part of the Whack Pack. I can't invite regular listeners.
I got the feeling I was one of the chosen people, since other Whack people, and Bibble said, well, there's Matt the trivia guy, and I thought, oh, God.
Yeah, that's what you are. All right, Matt, I'll have Craig call you and see what's happening, all right?
Okay, I emailed you my phone number. So.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Have a good weekend. Marty?
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Good. Hey, I was. You guys were just talking about leases, and last week I was in Ireland, and I listened to you on the stream while I was there.
Excellent.
And when you tour the Guinness factory, you learn that Arthur Guinness, 250 years ago, one of his slick moves, of he kind of credits his success to this, is when he first started brewing, he leased the brewery from this family that it was failed, and he signed a 9,000-year lease with them, and they were so anxious to lease it out that they never put in a cost of living or, you know, inflationary in there. So the lease was for 45 British pounds a year, and it's still active to this day.
9,000-year lease. Sounds like my car payments.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long a lease could I get on this so it's very affordable? 9,000 years.
Yeah, and they actually have the lease. It's in a display case for you to see, and it's just, but they to this, you know, Guinness has been around for 250 years. And they've paid this family like $11,000 for 250 years.
Okay, that's a worse deal than the rooftop
parking
deal.
Parking meters.
Exactly. It beats the parking meters.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I don't like Guinness, so.
Okay.
But kind of an interesting place. I thought I'd share that with you when I hear you talking about some crazy leases.
Yeah, that is crazy. Thank you, Marty. Have a good weekend.
See ya.
Garth Brooks is launching a world tour. Tickets are $65 to $75. And it starts here.
In Rosemont.
Yeah. And tell me Garth Brooks couldn't charge $200, $300. He, in his day, was the Beatles of country.
Yeah. And he hasn't toured in 17 years, so this is going to be a...
Well, he did that thing where he lost all the weight and took on that character, Chris, whatever.
Chris Gaines.
Chris Gaines. Yeah, that wasn't such a good
idea. Well, he said, though, he quit because he wanted to raise his daughters for the last 5-6 years. Although he was doing some shows in Vegas at the
Wind.
But
still.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
You think Garth Brooks couldn't charge more than
$65? Oh, $65?
Yeah, yeah. That's...
Lord charges $65.
Right. He could charge that for his T-shirts.
Yeah, and probably does.
Here's Leslie.
An Indiana University student from Amsterdam was among those killed in yesterday's crash of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17. Carlin Kaiser studied chemistry at IU and was a member of the school's rowing team in 2011. Indiana University President Michael McRobbie issued a statement saying Carlin was an outstanding student and talented athlete, and her passing is a loss to the campus and the university. Alderman Brendan Riley responding to a Tribune investigation about spikes in red light tickets at certain intersections is calling City Hall to determine what is causing those spikes and issue refunds if necessary. Quote, "Let's hope this is a technology problem only. No one should be paying an erroneous ticket." And there's actually reason to catch Sunday's game between the San Diego Padres and the New York Mets at Petco Park. Agnes McKee, at the age of 105, is set to become the oldest person to ever throw out a first pitch at a major league game. She's been practicing her underhand throw in preparation.
I want to see her shoot the puck during a Blackhawks game.
That would be easier.
And because of me, her life will be preserved.
She is not
because
going to take
she would
a
have
spill.
A Meyer mat.
On that doormat.
That's right. Ricky, don't lose that number. Ricky, don't lose that number.
Ricky, don't lose that number. Top of the hour.
Spartans! What is your profession?
And I'll take a phone call here. Rick Hogan is in the studio. I am going to give away another 5 passes. To the broadcast. I'm broadcasting from the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower on Thursday, and I'm inviting 30 listeners. That's 15 couples.
Would you mind if I dropped in?
Stop.
I like it up there.
It's a nice
deck. A nice venue. It's
beautiful.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So they are going to offer some food and drink, non-alcoholic, because they can't have alcohol up there. But anyway, you're certainly welcome to come.
Oh, I'll drop by for sure.
Are they paying for our transportation up to the 22nd floor?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's good.
11 cents in electricity.
Let me ask the trivia question, and then you will email your answer to C. Collins at WGNradio.com. C. Collins, C-O, LLINS at WGNRadio.com. That's Craig's email address. The first five that get in will get those passes. The question is, yesterday I had Mary Bauer on from a brewery.
Local brewery.
And she mentioned the name of the company that puts out the beer that she brought. Tell me via that email what that company is, because I didn't pronounce it right a few times. I'll give you a little hint. C. Collins at WGNRadio.com. Here is Joe at 521-8600. 312 is the area code. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good, sir.
So, this weekend is Huey Lewis in the News at Wolf Trap in Washington.
Washington?
D.C.
Oh, okay. I thought there was Washington, Illinois. There's a town or two I don't know in the state. So,
yeah.
Huey Lewis in the News, you're going to see them?
Yep.
Oh, this is Joe.
And, he goes to all
he's
those
called
concerts.
Before and talks about the concerts he goes to on the East Coast.
Yeah, I also went to see the Happy Together tour.
Which was?
Which, let's see, Flo and Eddie from the Turtles.
Right.
Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. Gary Lewis and the Playboys. And Mark Farner from,
Grand Funk.
Grand Funk, thank you.
And how was that lineup?
It was good. My friend that I went with, she had commented how Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night wasn't moving around much, and I said, he's 72 years old.
Okay, is 72...
Is he paralyzed? What is he, paralyzed?
He just wasn't animated.
People in their 70s now are crippling.
Yeah, they can't move.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of frightening.
Well, he's led a very fun life. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, Johnny Winter died at 70, so...
Yeah,
Johnny Winter... Lucky to be 72.
Yeah.
And is he the only of the dogs left?
It's one dog.
I think he's the only one that's touring.
I know at least one of the dogs is dead, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
And the other one, maybe he's like 74 and can't even get out of his house.
They were so good together. The harmonies those guys put together.
Oh, I know. That's why I just really love it. You know, and the thing was, my sister exposed me to that because I was only like 7 or 8 years old, and my sister says, listen to this.
How can people be so heartless?
Just an old-fashioned love song.
From Hair?
You're like the two missing dogs.
How can people
be so heartless?
Wait a minute. So
we found the two missing dogs.
Easy.
Oh, I've never been to Spain.
Eli's coming.
Yeah, they did sing Eli's coming.
Child is black. Well, who sings with this guy? These are like the fake dogs? How does he introduce them?
The backup band that tours with all of them and plays with all of them, they did the same, you know, they did the vocal part.
Oh, okay.
And it was a good show.
Okay.
And next weekend I got Kiss and Def Leppard.
You are busy.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had to give up tickets to see Dave Matthews on the next day because I don't feel like going to...
Do you ever think that your sister totally ruined your life by introducing you to all these people?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
She enriched my life.
There you go.
Get this, Joe. Jethro Tull playing North Central College here this fall. Cheapest ticket, $85.
Wow.
Well, I saw Jethro Tull at Wolf Trap about 11 years ago, and it was $26.
Oh, so he's come back. Down.
Lying in the cold sun.
You know how much those cod pieces are? He's got to raise the prices.
Well, the thing is, there's a company in here in rural Virginia that used to make his flutes. And I don't know if they still do, but...
Hey.
That's where Ian Anderson used to get his flutes from.
Okay. A local flute maker there.
Loudest.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, are you from Chicago?
Yeah, I grew up in Harvey. Oh,
okay.
Aqualung, you mother.
Yeah.
Skating away.
So the other thing is, like I said, I had to give up the tickets to see Dave Matthews because, like I said, no two concerts in 2 days.
Do you have a job?
Yes.
What do you do?
I'm a computer programmer at the University of Virginia.
Oh, nice.
He goes to the concerts in the evening.
Disposable money? No, it's okay.
Right?
He goes to a lot of concerts.
When did you move out of Harvey?
I moved out of Harvey in 1982, right after college.
Did you ever go to Dixie Square Mall?
Yeah, I got thrown out of Dixie Square Mall. I used to ride my bike there, and we would do stupid stuff in pennies, and then security would kick us out for the day.
Juvenile delinquents, huh? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's completely gone now. Even the hull that it used to be, that's been torn down and removed.
Oh, I know. My sister sends me pictures. She lives in Flossmoor. She used to live in Tinley Park, but she lives in Flossmoor now.
Okay.
Well, once Tom Dreesen left, the whole town
left. Right. He took it with him.
Once Lou Boudreau. Lou Boudreau left.
See, I think, Tom Dreesen mentions Harvey fairly often. I think it behooves him to go and try to help that town. Now, I tried to help by having Steve Harvey have them name the town after Steve Harvey, and he would come out and do something to get the thing jump-started. Steve Harvey, Illinois, are you kidding me? Maybe take some family feud out there?
Exactly. And the thing was, it was bad in 1982. I can't imagine. And when I tell my brother I want to go by the old house when I go back for a visit, he goes, don't go at night.
Yeah. It's sad.
It is really
I went
sad.
To Thornton Community College there. And somebody's got to do something where these towns just don't languish for decades. I had a suggestion. You put in, say, a super gas station where they never charge more than, say, $2.25 a gallon in Harvey.
Okay.
And then you build, because people will flock there. And then you have other stuff around there, these outlet malls or whatever. You got to do something to jumpstart. Not just sit there, okay, we'll tear down Dixie Square, and then we'll wait for another 10, 15 years, hope something drops out of the sky. It's not going to happen.
No, it's never happened.
And that's the same story in Gary and all these other towns. They just sit there, okay, well, we hit hard times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go. Rosemont. Get me a Don Stevens, a Brad Stevens. Thank you.
Well, you know, it all boils back to the old days, you know, what you guys were talking about maybe a couple months ago where you were saying north side, south side thing.
Right. So. Well, the city's always been divided mentally, geographically. The river separates even Michigan Avenue. You cross from the north side of Michigan Avenue to the south side. It's kind of a different atmosphere altogether, and you've only gone 50 yards.
Right. So remember I was complaining about in Virginia they were charging 50 cents a month for the Easy Pass?
Yes.
Well, the governor rescinded that, so now I got a Virginia Easy Pass and don't have to pay the 50 cents a month because I'm so cheap.
All right. Well, you're making a difference, Joe.
Yeah.
And that goes right into your concert fund.
Exactly.
You can go see Rick Springfield now.
No. And I'm still not going to see Cher with my son.
Okay.
Maybe Foghat.
they're actually touring. Don't say that.
And Joe would know. All right, Joe, keep me posted on your concert schedule.
I will, man.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, that's a good listener. That's
he reports in about every 2 weeks.
Does he really? That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
And I don't know if you heard, but we got into a do your impression of Rick Hogan a couple nights ago. We were trying to, because you weren't here last week, had to fill in. And we were trying to get all the...
Did you get anybody good?
We were doing Coke and
we
Jazz.
We were just doing them.
We were just talking about, I don't pay.
Oh, you two guys were...
I don't pay.
I thought you were getting...
I'm over at William Goat, and they don't charge me.
One of the things, I had a Billy Goat Adventure out in L.A. when I was out there.
Is that where you were?
Yeah. Kate and I, my girlfriend and I, went out for 3 days of rest and relaxation, and then I came back, and she had to do 4 days of a teachers' convention, the American Federation of Teachers, which was not as much fun as the 3 days we had. But I met out there. There's a guy from Greece who sold his shipping company to his sons for $3.5 billion, which is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he has decided at the age of 55 that he would like to become filmmaker, as he says. He's an old friend of the Sianis family, so he called me about, I don't know, a couple months ago and goes, I would like Rick to make Nimistanos. I would like, and I don't do a great Greek impression, but I would like to make for my first film a movie about Billy Goat, best book about Greek experience ever. And I said, well, thanks, that's great. Who are you? Well, I will be spending the next year in Hollywood meeting many of the Hollywood people there to get into the movie business, okay? So I said, okay, I'm going to be out there in about a month. Maybe we can meet. So I did a little research on this guy and found that he's a real deal, at least financially. But I met him and his lawyer, who was a guy who was like, yeah, I don't, you have a lot of Hollywood experience. I've put together many deals. Very slick guy. Put together very many deals. Like, what's the last movie you did? I did the whole financing for the Robert Redford, the boat movie.
Oh.
I don't remember. I couldn't. I'm thinking, you don't remember the name of it? And I go, well, what did you think of that movie? It was a three-hour lunch I had with these jokers. And he goes,
another joker.
What did I call them before? They're billionaires, but they can still be jokers. They're just, the guy is going to wind up leaving L.A. minus a couple hundred million dollars because he seems like a kind of easy mark. He doesn't seem to know very much about movies.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah, but the Redford movie was...
I said, is the lawyer. This isn't the guy. And the lawyer, I said to him, I go, well, that was an interesting movie. I found it really, you know, because I did not see the whole movie. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I saw the rough cut. I go, you financed the whole movie, a movie that in which there's no dialogue, and you didn't see the movie? Once the financing's done, I'm done.
So I'm thinking, okay. Is it Larry Ellison's daughter who's now doing movies?
I think so.
Isn't he Oracle?
Yeah, he's Oracle.
Yeah. And his daughter is becoming, and she's produced actually some pretty big hits.
Well, Gigi Pritzker here, one of the Pritzkers, has gotten into that business and had some big hits too. But
that's not that business. The accountants are so creative. The thing could make $500 million. We didn't make any money.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Where's the back end?
And
where's
if you don't know what you're doing, and even if you do, you got to be very careful. So you went out there just to help?
Just to meet the guy, and you know, he would like to option the bike. Look, if you can
whatever happened to your deal with Robert De Niro?
That's still in the works. That's not for the Billy Goat book.
No,
Robert De Niro is not going to make the Billy Goat.
No, but I'm just saying you went out, you met.
Oh
with,
no, but that's the thing. You guys know this about Hollywood. It is 99% talk and 1% action. There are guys out there. I know people who are out there who are screenwriters who had a movie produced 10 years ago and have made serious money throughout the last 10 years just writing scripts that never make it to the screen. And it's a good job, and it pays a lot of money, and they don't care. They don't care if it makes it. They are those guys, the old friends of mine, some of them used to work here. That's the nature of the business. They get commissioned to write a screenplay. They write the screenplay. They get $250,000, and okay. Who cares if
that
it gets
pays
made,
the bills for a few years, and I'll write another one.
Yep.
Same thing with people that audition for these TV pilots.
Exactly.
Some of them just do that, knowing they're never going to get onto a show that's going to make it. But the pilot season, as it's called, is its own economy.
Well, the best pilot season story I've ever heard is Bill Peterson, the legendary Chicago stage actor, goes out to Hollywood. He makes a pilot for a series. He is waiting to hear. He's back in Chicago. We're playing golf with a couple other friends of ours at this Highland Park golf course. The phone rings on the, I remember, 14th hole. Billy takes the call and he goes, God damn it, and throws his phone into the woods. And we go, oh, God, what's that? Didn't you get it? He goes, no, I got it. I got it. This is going to be one wasted year of my life. CSI.
Oh.
Why did he audition if he didn't want it?
Because you get paid. I mean, to your point, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer says, Bill Peterson, come on out here, make a pilot, get $100,000 for a couple of weeks.
Oh, just
work.
He thought he'd just get that and move on.
And he thought the
they
show
wouldn't get picked
because
up.
We were laughing about it. Oh, this is going to be. He described it as this is the original CSI. As he, we go, what's your role? He goes, well, I'm kind of forensic scientist and. This lawyer friend of ours goes, you got to be kidding. This is like Quincy goes to Vegas? And Billy goes, yeah, kind of. Now Billy is, there is no telling how much that paid off for him.
But now he can do
whatever
just plays
he can do theater
if he wants,
in Chicago. Yeah.
Which he does, and John Mahoney, who played the father on Frasier.
And Laurie Metcalf.
That's the bank account, and now you can do whatever you want to do.
It's great freedom. If you can get that golden ring, as they say.
Well, he was a producer on that, so he gets money from that.
Oh, Billy?
Yeah.
He gets every time it's on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incalculable.
And that's on in syndication in a couple of states.
And it's got other shows, too, of which Billy is also, you know, the main executive producer is unbelievably a girl I went to high school with here. Who may be the wealthiest woman in Hollywood, Carol Mendelson, who I do not see as often as I would like.
Well, you've got a rich shipping magnate now that you can introduce her to.
Oh, yeah, I'm betting Fiona's future on that guy. You know, it may well be. He may wind up making movies. They had met the morning before they met me at the Beverly Hills Hotel near the swimming pool. They had met with Oliver Stone, the famous film director. Do you know his work? I go, yeah, I know his work. What did you talk to him about? the Billy Goat book. I go, you talk to, I'm like, now it's getting surreal. I said, you talk to Oliver Stone about making a movie of a Chicago tavern? Really?
Oliver Stone Billy Goat.
Was he interested in? Well, it'd be some conspiracy movie.
You get a burger down and to the left. Down and to the left.
It was not a cow. It was not Mrs. O'Leary's cow that started the Chicago fire. It was a goat that started the
Chicago
fire.
That is one magic burger.
Or about Vietnam. It'd have to have some Vietnam connection.
Sure. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, I like the conspiracy.
Natural born grillers.
I know. But it was surreal, and Hollywood is surreal. You guys have had enough encounters with those sorts who... A lot of promises, very little payoff. You really do have to be someone like Robert Redford or Tom Hanks.
Well, if you ever go out there and just hang out at a pool in Beverly Hills and just sit there for a couple hours and take it in, it is another world. And it is, if you don't have to deal with it, it's great entertainment. It's great theater.
Yeah. Oh, it was, too. I mean, I had 1 3-hour meeting, and that was my brush.
The rest was
brush with Hollywood, just going sitting by the pool and reading a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The great taco stands and stuff around town.
Went to Dan Tana's, that old line.
Oh, it's classic.
Yeah, it was great.
I saw James Wood there and Tori Spelling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she was crying one night.
Together? It's a tiny place.
Very small.
Yeah.
That's where the Eagles used to hang out all the time, before they made it.
That guy in Washington should know this. A guy from Virginia should know this. It was a charming place. It was a really old-fashioned...
You go to Pink's?
Italian restaurant, no.
No?
You don't like hot dogs?
I like hot dogs, but you know, it's not like... When you go somewhere in L.A., depending on where you're staying... It's an adventure. What time is it? How crowded is the 10? How crowded is the 405? I mean, you have to make all these plans. I would go nuts there because it's not like, hey, want to have a drink after work? It's, oh, no, I got to get the 410. The 410's crowded at 6 o'clock. I got to go back to Santa Monica or Encino or someplace. You know, it's hard, I think, to make friendships there.
When I was out there last year, I had to go to the drugstore, and I decided I'm not taking the rental car because you're right. Once you get into the traffic, you're into the traffic. Oh. Plus, this drugstore, when I drove past it right before I went back, there were no parking spaces. And there must have been 50 spaces, but they were all full. And I thought, well, I don't want to get into that. So I walked. It was about a mile and a half walk from the hotel. And these
people
two women were standing by a bus stop. When is there a bus here? We want to take a bus. And I go, I'm from Chicago.
Oh, no.
I don't know. And the one woman goes, we're from Texas. We're never coming back here.
There's no public transportation in L.A.
I mean, they do have buses. Buses. Right. I don't know where the so-called L is there. And all we kept hearing, Kate and I, from people in Beverly Hills, where we were staying, was, oh, downtown is coming back. It's so great. It's so cool. It's so hip and so nice. And so for Kate's convention, we moved into the Biltmore, which is a venerable old hotel, which is really beautiful. It's not the Palmer House, and believe me, it's not the Drake. And the downtown area, though they had a couple cool rooftop places, is, to my mind, 10 years from being hip and crowded. Yeah. You know, parts of it are like the old, reminded me of Skid Row.
Right.
Really did.
Oliver Stone and Benghazi as seen through the eyes of William Goat.
Oliver Stone's Cheeseburger Gate.
Starring Charlie Sheen as Bill Sienis.
What's this Robert De Niro project again?
That's the Lords of the Levees book. People are interested in Everybody Pays, which I wrote some time ago about a mob hitman, and Lords of the Levee, which are about the two most corrupt aldermen in the history of Chicago, Bathhouse John Coughlin and Hinky Dinkenna, who ran the first ward on the near south side when it was just a red light district and just wide open kind of town. There have been things going on with that book for the last 40 years.
You're not exaggerating.
No, I'm not. Even when my father was alive.
Because your dad wrote it, right?
Yeah, he wrote it with Lloyd Wendt, who used to work at the Tribune. Every few years, it gets hot again out there. Someone goes, wow, we got to... You know, the talk now of Lords of the Levee that De Niro and Scorsese are somehow involved in is a miniseries. And I'm like, okay. And all I keep saying is, okay. Sounds good to me.
Well, they were coming off the Boardwalk Empire kind of thing, right?
Yep, yeah, which is still running. I mean, Boardwalk's going to come back for another season. But that's what fired up the interest in this, you know, turn-of-the-century Chicago political corruption kind of thing. You know, the Everly sisters, you got enough elements in it, but geez, it takes so many. You know, you think, well, Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro are interested in this project. That doesn't mean it gets made. Maybe if, like, Spielberg and Hanks walk into an executive's office and go, hey, we want to make a movie about the Billy Goat. They go, okay, well, what do you, they don't even know what the Billy Goat is. They'll give them the money. It's hard.
Why not a Kickstarter campaign like Zach Braff?
Well, I'm not going to get, I'm not, I don't want to get in a Kickstarter campaign. I see here that movie's gotten really nice reviews. Huh? Horrible. Horrible. And the other thing I had to deal with out there was someone comes up at the pool at the Beverly Hills Hotel and goes, you look really familiar. I go, I'm nobody. I'm just reading a book here. They go, no, you're the guy. You're the guy from the Ebert movie.
Oh.
Because I'm in the, you know, Life Itself. Not the star of it. I'm one of the many people in Life Itself.
In the car chase scene.
Well, I do have one. There's a very incendiary line from what I hear is the biggest laugh line in the movie. And I spouted that off at the Old Town Ale House, and that's my little bit.
That's what I got to remember. I had Old O'Rourke's
Town Old Town Ale House.
Because we were talking about Twin Anchors and how you love
I love Twin Anchors.
I know. Well, that's when we were doing the Kogan Jazz. That came up. Oh, yeah. Nelson Algren came up.
Yeah.
Art Shea.
Mike
Royko.
Studs Terkel.
Studs. Oh, yeah. We had all
And Mrs. Studs, Studette.
I've never lived in a house. I've only lived in an apartment.
Me? Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Never had a mortgage.
Well, I'm going to get...
I don't pay when
I'm
going to
get
saloons.
Some tapes of this show, of the show you did on me, and send them to the Greek guy, and maybe he'll want to make a movie about me starring you two guys.
After the guy said to you at the pool, who are you, and you told that you decided it was from the Ebert movie, did the conversation go?
He decided, because it was fine. He just goes, you're great in that movie.
You were great. You do your own stunts?
Yeah. I said, I'm not an actor, though. You see, I'm not an actor. Yeah, right. You were great in that movie. I said, I'm not an actor.
It's a documentary.
I said, you saw the movie, right? He goes, yeah. I said, it's a documentary. I'm not like a star of the movie.
Well, that's
nice. He was a nice enough guy.
Now I'm going to continue reading my book on Nelson Algren.
No, you know what the book was about?
No.
I am going to read
the Everly Sisters.
I brought out a book.
Hinky Dinky.
Hinky Dinky.
Yeah, believe me, I've read that book enough. This book is called, ladies and gentlemen, An Empire of Their Own. How the Jews Invented Hollywood.
Look at that.
It's a good book.
You know who must be included, I'm going to guess, is Margie Korshak is a big public relations person here.
This is before Sydney.
It's before her uncles controlled the unions in Hollywood in the day.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, not only Hollywood, more famously, and take for what you will, he controlled the unions in Las Vegas in the day.
Yeah. And imagine this is that power. Because they could shut down anything.
This is a man with a phone call.
Yeah.
Sidney Korshak, with one phone call that could shut down the city of Las Vegas. He famously is the guy, the whole horse's head scene in The Godfather. That was supposedly orchestrated by Sidney Korshak.
What do you mean?
He couldn't intimidate the producer.
Right.
Of what movie was From Here to Eternity to
put
cast
Sinatra.
Yeah. But then he found a horse's head in his bed and he saw the light.
So that really happened?
Yeah.
That really happened?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that really happened.
Khartoum.
No, not going to race him, though.
Put him out to stud.
People have tried to write books about Sidney Korshak.
Johnny Fontaine never gets that part. It'll make him a big star.
I don't want it in the...
She's a great piece of ass, and I've had it all over the world.
That's right. You're good. Good.
The goat
running casinos when you were banging cheerleaders.
What about the goat father? Maybe if Francis Ford Coppola comes out of retirement, he could do like the goat father. He'll work for this Greek guy. The goat father. What do you think about that?
My L.A. story from last year.
Where do you stay out there? Not specifically.
Various places. I mean,
like Santa Monica?
We stayed there, just wherever.
I love Santa Monica.
Yeah,
that's
so do I.
That's a beautiful area. And having lunch with my daughter, and then James Caan comes in and sits down, and now I'm thinking, wow, that's Sonny Corleone.
Yeah.
I got to say hello, so now I'm trying to get the courage up for half hour.
Bada bing, bada boop, you go after him, you got to shoot him.
You're not a wartime concierge.
Papa had Jenka, look what I'm stuck with.
Not sorry, Tom. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. So I thought I got to. I don't want to.
Yeah, sure.
And again, what are you going to say? But I thought I got to think about this. So I finally came up with Mr. Khan, I've admired your work from The Godfather and my daughter over there through Elf. And I thought that covers a nice span. He makes him feel like his career is still, and it is. And as soon as I got the courage up, he got up and left. And I never did it.
Never.
Mr. Khan!
Mr. Khan, I love you. Jimmy. Mr. Khan, my daughter loves you. Jimmy, where are you going? The Playboy Mansion? Jimmy.
All right, I'll see you on the 22nd floor on Thursday.
Thursday, I'll be there. I can't
come
wait.
On up.
That sounds like a great deal of fun.
Hope so.
Always great to see you guys.
Just hit 22.
And you, Leslie.
On the elevator thing.
I'm going to have someone bring me up there.
Hey, how you doing? Art Shea has got an amazing exhibition at the...
What's the name of that new watering hole he just mentioned?
The Ale House.
You got to put that.
You got to put that on our.
Yeah, was that the
on
Ale
our
House.
Kogan Jazz?
Used to.
What's that?
You're off mic here. I can't even hear you.
The Old Town Ale House used to be famously the end of what was called the Bermuda Triangle of drinking in Chicago. You could start at one of two places, the Billy Goat or Ricardo's. Then you would adjourn to the second point of the triangle, which was O'Rourke's. And then if you were up to it, because it was a 4 o'clock bar, you would then make it to the Ale House.
And either you...
Forget anything happened.
Roger Ebert or Royko was at one at all times. Right?
Yeah, more or less.
And what was Roger's drink? Because we were trying to think of what Roger's drink. What was Roger's drink?
Johnny Walker Black.
And a snifter. All right, got some stuff.
That's good enough.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Kogan Jazz.
Yeah. And a snifter.
The Old Ale House.
GM on .fm. The Gear Force. Of course, after a story like the Malaysia airline story, you're going to hear these stories, which I always think, whoa, timing is everything. A man who had planned on flying on that plane yesterday did not take the flight. Barry Sim and his wife Izzy had intended to fly to Kuala Lumpur on that Malaysia Airlines flight, but changed to a later flight at the last minute. We couldn't get both of us on the same flight that morning, so we changed it to a KLM one. I always wonder if you were scheduled, as in this case, these two people, and you didn't take it, do you think I was that close to death? Why was I that close to death in this way? Or I was spared.
Or I saved.
So my life, I'm in the back of the pack now as far as bad things that can happen to me.
Oh, like you got your pass.
Right. You are now moved to the back of bad things that can happen to you. You have to think about those. I do. I would.
I read a story today. They're going to be popping up. There was a steward who was supposed to be on it, and somebody said, could you fill in for me?
Really?
And so now he...
That's what I mean.
It was either he or she. I can't remember who, but somebody swapped out and did somebody a favor, and now they're dead. And
left turn, person, right turn, who knows?
And this person,
you just don't know.
Such guilt.
You could be 10 seconds from tragedy.
And not even that, but think about this. I wouldn't mind if you said, you know, I'm taking a flight into Russia. Or into Israel or something, where you know it's a hot spot. They weren't going to a hot spot. They were just flying over a hot spot at 33,000 feet. They weren't even...
What was the outcome of if they were in controlled airspace, but there was no restriction? Did I hear this right? They really weren't restricted from flying over that.
No. It wasn't that they did anything wrong. They were at 33,000 feet. And most of the experts say they were in a point in the flight where the pilots are almost not even flying the plane anymore.
Because
they've
been up for a couple hours.
But they're at 33,000 feet. They're cruising. They're in a straight line. There's nothing to do. They're just kind of watching the controls. But so they said they were in one of the most safest parts.
Safest?
Most safe.
Yes, you said most safest.
Oh, most safe. The most safe part.
James Woods,
of the
Tiger Woods, Kerry Wood. All right, I got it.
Natalie Wood. The most safe part of the flight. So there would have been no... They would have been in such an area of no worries, of like, okay, we're not landing, we're not turning, we're not doing anything. And so they were not in any kind of a spot where they should have worried about anything.
Now,
they,
okay, now do you think Malaysia Airlines is under some weird juju?
How do you go on that flight? On that airline?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, because the Flight 370...
I'll give you that one.
But now you're thinking, what's going on here?
Yeah, how do you, if you're their marketing or their public relations, I mean, now obviously today flights are going out, right? On Malaysia, they didn't stop all flights.
No.
So people got on. What are you going to do?
And now do you think, okay, they've had two. What are the chances? That's the way some people will think and get on those flights.
But you know what? I mean, what are you going to do? It is what it is. I mean, you can't live your life that way. If you thought about all the chances, you'd never leave your bed.
Right. It's
the randomness of life.
It's as dangerous to drive to the airport. More dangerous if you go with the numbers. It really is.
Yeah.
The ride to the airport is the most dangerous.
Now, a lot of people obviously already had paid flights today. So we'll see after people have already paid, after the paid flights have sort of eased off, we'll see what kind of business impact it has. But it, my gosh, they had to be, their heads had to be spinning for so many reasons yesterday.
We do have the five winners for today for the 22nd floor broadcast.
What was the answer?
It was Lagunitas. Lagunitas, yeah, that's Lagunitas. The company. Right. I kept saying Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
Because it's spelled like John Unitas' name. That's how I did it.
There was a perfectly rational way of looking at that.
On Monday, I'll have another trivia question to round out the 30 invites, 15 pairs. And let's say I do that around 6 o'clock, just to go deeper in the show.
I was so impressed by that beer yesterday that I went on their website last night. To see, remember, the woman was...
And the beer's name was Little Something...
Little Something Extra.
Little Something Extra.
Little Something Extra. And I went on there and to see, because she was talking about how big the facility was, and it's really cool. You can walk, she was mentioning the catwalks and the giant stainless steel...
Were you lit up at home and you just decided, I need to see more of this place. I want to go there for that and to see the studio that's out there, that CineSpace.
Yeah.
Where they do NYPD, Chicago PD. I don't know why they do
Chicago
NYPD.
Fire.
Although, if it's a tax break, they might. Chicago PD and Chicago Fire are done there.
Yeah, and the owner apparently is a Chicagoan, and this is this beer is not just in Chicago. It's all over the place. But you should see this guy. He's one of those guys like that Reed's Chews guy. He's got they showed an opening of this. Of this big facility with the governor, right? And there's this guy with some throwaway shirt, like three buttons undone, pair of Dockers.
The Reeds guy was the ginger chew guy. Yeah. He had
like a Hawaiian
former
shirt
hippie that came up with this ginger chew that I love.
And that's how this guy looked. He just was kind of, if you saw this guy.
It's beer. Why do you have to dress up?
Oh, no, but I'm just saying he looked like a total beer drinker.
That's what you want is your image.
Yeah, they look pretty good. I got to say, that was some strong beer. I was feeling a little buzz yesterday.
Yeah.
On one bottle.
Well, 7.5% alcohol, and most beer is 5. Is that what you said? Yeah.
Yeah.
Leslie, did you send me this story about the Siberian hole?
Yes.
Scientists are already working hard to figure out how the mysterious Siberian hole came about. And there's a picture of this hole.
What are you talking about?
It's
a giant hole in Siberia.
What kind of hole?
A hole. I mean, a hole in the earth.
I mean, we're talking huge, cavernous hole that just appeared out of nowhere.
Like a sinkhole?
The crater is from 160 to 230 feet deep.
Wow.
So that's
a big hole.
That could be 23 stories if you need to use some kind of measurement down.
Wow.
That would be if...
It's
take
like this
the 22nd floor that I'll be on Thursday and add another floor and then look down. That's how deep the hole is. That's a lot of hole.
You'd be doing the show on ground level. If you put the whole building in the ground, you'd be on ground level.
Okay, that's a way to look at it. And they have no idea how this came about.
Well, they're starting to surmise. At first, people were saying maybe it was some sort of asteroid hit, and that didn't pan out. What they figure is it was like an underground ice system that started to melt. And once that ice melted, the permafrost actually started to melt. It was a giant sinkhole, but it's
almost like the glacier.
Kind of unusual in this area.
Like when the glaciers melted and they left the Grand Canyon and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
And in this case, it is kind of scary looking.
What do you do? Do you put up some sawhorses with tape around it?
A few cones.
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
Speaking of a few cones, okay, so for the last couple months. There's been a giant pothole on northbound Columbus near Illinois. And the city of Chicago, in its wisdom, threw a sandbag in there
for the last month.
They finally patched it this week.
When's the last time it snowed? It's been months. And now they're just getting around to it?
And on a street that huge.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking right by the Sheraton Hotel and Channel 5 and everything. Yeah. Let's throw a sandbag.
Channel 5, at least walk out with a camera and go, what the hell?
Oh, I know what you're talking now, because we have to take that little detour route. Yes.
It is monstrous.
What if, what's her name from Channel 5, drives over it and her glasses fall off? What's the reporter?
Well, there are any number
I stepped in it now. I don't.
Channel 5?
Channel 5. She's got those glasses. They're kind of rectangular.
And
on Channel 5?
Yeah, you know who it is.
Well, but I'm thinking
312-521-8600.
When you talk reporters at Channel 5, they're all such teeny weenies.
Martinez?
Yeah. What's her first name?
Nasita?
Natalie?
Natalie Martinez.
Yeah. She's got those glasses that could pop right off.
Well, but they're all like teeny weeny humans. They could be lost in there.
Yeah.
By the time they finish all the potholes, it's going to be winter again. They're going to come
back. Chip, you're on the blower.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Just talking about the crazy things that could happen. Getting off that plane or getting on, you're the guy that switched on at the last minute. We were driving in South Dakota on our way to our next campsite, and so there was a big 18-wheeler with a trailer on the back. He was coming north on this highway, and there was a car going south. And the eight wheels, however many are back there, on the back part of the trailer, the whole thing came off, went across the highway, and took this car out. And when we finally were able to get past it, they had the seat across the windshield. And so we don't know really what happened other than it was an awful, like, what a random thing. You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden the back wheels on a trailer come across into your lane. And
that's how it happens. I'm surprised things go as smoothly as they do every day with all of the things that are moving. That there is a more chaos.
Right, no doubt. And if you live your life thinking about all the terrible things that could happen at any second, that guy was probably going home to a barbecue or something. And
well, again, life is so random that people, if they're 5 feet one way or another, are alive or dead.
Right, and I think if you live your life thinking about all those terrible things that can happen to you, you drive yourself nuts.
You'd never leave the house, but then there have been stories where a plane crashes into a house and the person in the house died. So even if you stayed home, it's no guarantee.
No doubt. Hey, good talk to you, Gary. Happy Friday.
The same to you, Chip. Thank you.
Well, think about how arrogant we are to say, okay, I'll be there at 7:30 tonight. How do you know?
Well, that is extreme.
No, but I'm just saying, how do you
leave earlier?
My point is anything can happen to you between now and 7:30.
Well, so what should you say? I don't know if I'm going to be there at 7:30.
No, but I mean, we just assume that nothing is going to happen to
us. His logic now, this is where it goes off the rails.
No.
I remember a few months back, we were scheduled to be off because of the Cubs, but there was a rain delay, so we stayed on. And then he said, what if we did leave?
Yes.
The Cubs started playing, and I was driving home, and I'd be in an accident, even though there was no accident reported.
But I said, because I wouldn't have been going home at that time. And there could have been a car and a driver, a nutty driver, who I never would have encountered because I would have been working. But suddenly now I wasn't.
Speaking of nutty drivers, which you are, Leslie had a story about the red light tickets, and there might be some refunds, and if anybody might be getting a refund.
Even on
although
old
you are guilty, this is based
this
on
is
what?
Going to be months away. I mean, if they can actually get a class action suit together based on this Tribune expose that's been going on, they're finding that some of these intersections where they had the red light cameras, initially people were getting the tickets until they learned how that intersection worked. And then all of a sudden the tickets dropped off. So people were complying. And then in a few week period, all of a sudden the tickets spiked. So they're questioning whether it's a change in the way the cameras were run, whether they tweaked yellow lights, whether people just quit paying attention. But there's something fishy about the fact that only at these certain intersections they would see these really weird spikes. And then all of a sudden, not again.
Especially at Cicero and Addison.
Yeah, okay.
Where I've gotten
and
two.
So with that, the Tribune, I want to say, has got a site now where go to the Tribune website. You can put in your license plate and find out if, in fact, your car was one of those ticketed at one of the highly...
Where can I do that?
I think I just said at the Tribune website.
Oh, at the Tribune website. Okay.
Yeah, he's so busy thinking he's going to get a refund.
I was just seeing dollar signs over your face. I zoned out.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. They're talking about maybe there'll be a class action lawsuit. And we always know how those class action lawsuits work out.
Everybody gets $4 if they win. The suit claims the contract called for 20 to 25% of each $100 red light ticket to go to Redflex, generating about $100 million in ill-gotten gains that unjustly enriched the company. Frankly, there should be a return to the people who paid that money. That extra charge was uncalled for because it was negotiated by bribery.
Yeah, there was a whole big investigation about the way they got that contract and everything. They gave the guy trips
Well,
I'm going to go.
If there's a class action suit,
I am going.
Depending on how many people are involved, you might end up with $4 back in your pocket.
Four? I've gotten at least 10. I've paid $1,000.
I know how many you've gotten, but as they go through the process and then more people get involved, and then they divvy up, if there's a settlement, here's your check for $4.
North and Fifth, I'm sure there's another one that's bad there. Cicero.
So you've had 10.
I've had at least, since it started? Certainly. Yeah. Easily.
So you think...
I should have kept all of the receipts just to know, you know.
You think it's all flawed every time.
There's only one, which I showed you the video of.
Yeah, you were clearly in the wrong.
Where I couldn't believe I did that myself. I was like, wow, I didn't even stop.
You have to take somebody with you to videotape how you drive. Because you will notice, first of all, you look at the person in the passenger seat as you talk to them, which frightens me.
Look, I know I do a rolling stop.
I
admit.
And then
that.
If you go through a red light, you'll say there should not be a red light there, like you did on the way from the United Center.
I will take anyone down that street, and I will show it to you where it is, and I will say, wouldn't you have gone through that? Because there is literally 50 feet between lights. I never saw a light, and then 50 feet up next, there's another light. How are you supposed to stop and go?
There's your argument, Judge.
Judge. Yes. No, I do. I do admit that I do the rolling stop. But I do the rolling stop at a stop sign or a red light when there is absolutely no traffic. So it's not like I'm beating cars.
Do you see flashes all day because you've had so many of those cameras flash?
Oh, I have. There's some times where I've expected. I'm like, oh, they got me.
You just see the flash.
I thought there was a flash.
But that's just a reaction to so many.
Maybe, or someone else maybe behind
me. It's a phantom reaction.
It must be. It's like when you lose a foot, you still feel
it. You think you got a sore foot.
Yeah, but over the last couple of months, I thought for sure at least there was two times when I was going to get an envelope. And I know the envelope by now. So when I see it, I go, oh, they got... And then the best part is that I'm doing the driving... But the cars are under my wife's name.
So it's on her record?
So it comes to... Well, it's not on anybody's record. It doesn't go on your record.
Doesn't?
No, it's just for revenue. That's why this is all a scam.
Because that's a moving violation.
It's not a ticket. It's a fine. It's not a ticket. This has nothing to do with your driving record.
Of course,
policeman doesn't give it to you.
If it's a revenue generator, they don't want you to lose your license because you're good for business.
Oh, my God, they love me. They're like, keep driving and keep making right turns. No, this does not go on your record, but... It's funny that it comes to my wife, and it's always my license plate.
Terrific. In a legal ruling no one could have predicted, a judge in England has ordered a lottery winner to split his jackpot with the waiter who predicted the win. The case revolves around Fatah Azkan. He's a waiter at a Turkish restaurant who decided to buy a lottery ticket after dreaming he was showing a bunch of cash to his manager. The next day, Azkan pestered his boss to buy Euro Millions lottery tickets from a nearby supermarket. Amazingly, Azkan's dream was prophetic. One of the tickets earned a jackpot of worth $1.7
million. Wow.
Although, I don't want this name,
Kukukula.
Let me spell this for you. Kukukulu. Kukukulu. Paid for the ticket and chose the winning numbers. Azkan believed he was entitled to half the winnings because he physically purchased the tickets after dreaming of the win. Okay, how did this go again? Case revolved. The waiter, he decided to buy a lottery ticket after he dreamt he was going to win.
He dreamt he was going to win.
So he pestered his boss to buy... Oh, so the boss bought
right.
the tickets.
And he's saying, I dreamt it. You wouldn't have bought it without me dreaming it.
But was Azkan's money involved in the purchase?
Well, I don't know if it's one of those...
Yeah, wait a minute here.
I don't know if it's one of those things. Did Azkan give him the money? Or?
Just because he said to his boss, hey, I had a dream, well, then he should have gone and bought tickets on his own.
If it wasn't his money, then the guy certainly has a right to say, hey, I put the money out.
That doesn't make any sense. Judge ruled on behalf of Azkan because the plaintiff was a strong believer in the power of dreams. He interpreted his own dream to mean that he and Mr. Kukukulu would win the lottery.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's law with superstition. I mean, come on.
The fact that Azkan pestered Kukukulu for 3 hours about the ticket and that surveillance film showed them picking up the numbers. So there's
something.
Yeah, something going on here. It sounds like the boss paid for the tickets, but maybe this guy helped him with the numbers now. Okay. Well, he's going to get half. Well, $857,000.
Not bad.
Yeah, still. Good for both.
Yes, Azkan.
But how do you pronounce this? F-A-T-I-H.
F-A-T-I-H.
Fata. What happened to Carl and... Lenny and those names. They're not fashionable anymore?
You know, Jimmy Kimmel just had a daughter and named her Jane.
Yeah.
Just Jane.
How plain.
Yeah, Jane.
Old school.
Yeah.
Leslie?
Not Skyler or...
Gary Meyer at 312-521-8600. That's the text and phone number. This text, at 33,000 feet, it would have taken around 2 minutes to fall. Leslie was saying during the break that some reports said people were watching bodies fall from the sky in that plane yesterday. Bibble says, don't worry, the man scared to drive home after a Cubs rain delay. Well, he's all over the map on his philosophy.
Why?
Tell numbnuts, Bibble, that icebergs didn't carve the Grand Canyon, the Colorado River did.
The glaciers didn't?
Apparently not. When my grandmother made plans with me, she'd always add, if we're still here.
There you go.
That's the way you think.
That's the way I think. I mean, we don't think about it, but it is when you think about how arrogant we are to think that we control time. It's silly.
Bibble will pay $1,000 in red light tickets, but won't pay for air conditioning.
Well,
no damn sense.
No, well, I'm not willingly paying this. I'm being fined. I mean, it's not like
but
I wanted to.
You obviously don't heed those red lights to get 10 of those tickets.
But I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm not deliberately breaking the law to say I can't wait to pay you $100.
I know, but you apparently, you're a habitual red light breaker.
Yeah, well,
You cost me $10 last month because I was over my data plan. You're welcome. Attorneys get all the cash on class action suits.
Yeah, I've gotten on a few things on class action suits on different products and stuff. I've gotten ridiculous checks for $10. I mean, silly.
Hey, Gary, all these commercials cutting into your tunage? Well, you must have missed that show the other day. There's been a rearrangement of how this is going to go. The commercials are going to come in at some point. I just thought, well, I seem to have a commercial-free field right now, and they made it aware to me that it isn't commercial-free. Those commercials have to be played, which I'm doing now. And they have to play commercials to make money to make this thing work. The songs will not be played anymore after August 1st because...
They will be tossed.
Tossed.
They will be tossed.
Because there's a fee, and they don't want to pay that fee.
With peace and love.
And it was structured in this way. People aren't tuning in to hear music. They're tuning in to hear you.
Oh, that was the spin.
Yeah.
See, we want less music, more Gary.
Yeah. More talk, less music. You don't hear that slogan much on the commercial dial. And the opening is ready to go.
Yes, it is.
The repeat, at least, that you hear if you listen at 3, it's repeated at 6. Here it is.
John on the phone.
Testing now.
Go. Now listen to me carefully, you fat tub of goo.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Good evening, Great Barrier Reef and Piatone. An episode of Sex Sent Me to the ER will air tomorrow night on TLC and feature an episode where a man superglued his hand to his penis. The night before the incident, the patient was fixing the lamp.
I don't know what that means.
Next to his bed, and he left the superglue tube on the nightstand next to a tube of lubrication he kept on hand. No pun intended. For when he and his wife were in the mood.
Spectacular mistake.
Well, he got in the mood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grabbed the wrong tube.
The man's a menace.
And whoops.
Do not touch it. It is dangerous.
Hand sticks to his baby maker.
Shake that.
Thank God he hadn't started carnal knowledge. That would have been a funny arrival to the ER.
Oh, no.
I just keep a glass of water on the nightstand. How about you? A toothless man in Washington State was charged with assault after gumming the wrist of his roommate because she would not clean his ear. I'm going to guess these two won't get their security deposit back.
You're right.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes.
My nipples explode with delight.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Super G Streamliner Blabbin' Cabin on the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago.
I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. Oh, no, no, I get a good feeling, yeah.
GM on .FM, Mike on the blower. What up, Mike?
How you guys doing?
Good, sir.
Oh, man, I'm liking this new format.
Thank you.
I know it's kind of like salt in the wound, I'm sure. I'm sorry you're sticking
here. No, there's no wound. No, we're just moving on.
Hey, I just have a comment about Fibble. How come he's the one that controls the air conditioning, and then he lets out on the air that the cars are all in his wife's name?
Don't try to figure this man out. Your head will explode.
No, I'm just trying to say his wife must really love him. Why, I don't understand, because all she needs to do is hide the keys to the cars then, because they're both hers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, she's the earner. There's no doubt about that. I mean,
yeah, why are they under her name? Is there some tax advantage? Or?
I'm trying to think why.
Or when you ditch her, she's left with the bills, or what?
I'm trying to think why we put him under her name.
Both cars are under her name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, probably because Bibble's on some list about Elton John's stalker or something.
Right. He's
oh, you know what?
Some bad paper on him.
Oh, you know what? I think because I did get a speeding ticket about 5 or 6 years ago in Indiana, and I pleaded guilty because it was like in Plymouth, Indiana, somewhere. I was on my way to Fort Wayne, and I wasn't gonna drive
to see my in-laws.
Hi, Kiki.
Kiki's parents live in Fort Wayne.
Hi, Jimmy. No, and so I wasn't going to pay. I wasn't going to go to court and appear, so I just paid. And so that went on my record, and I went to renew my license, And they said, you have to take the driver's test because you've got a mark. So I think after that, for insurance purposes, because I had this mark.
Right, and if these red light tickets you said don't go
don't,
on they, your record, if they
count.
Did,
right.
Your insurance would be through the roof.
Yeah, so I think that's why we did it, yeah.
But, hey,
but I mean, I pay the, you know, but I write the bills out, see? I write all the checks out, so I see how much we're paying in electric and gas. So that's why I'm.
Wait a minute! You're in charge of the money, but everything's in her name.
Pretty much.
Wow, she loves you and trusts you.
Yeah, well, I hope she has a boyfriend, because that's the only way this makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, do you have any more of those Dreamliner pins?
I think I do. I haven't given out all of them.
You need 100?
Yeah. I give them out by the bags.
I just want some swag.
Yeah, I think I still do. Keith, why don't you? Keith will take your address, and if I have some, I'll send one out.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you. Have a good
thanks
weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But
I mean,
do the same.
I mean, I understand what Mike's saying, but as I said before, I'm not paying these. I'm not deliberately getting these tickets to pay the $100 fine all the time.
Yeah,
purpose.
But wouldn't you think after the fifth one that maybe it's you?
But how am I? But I'm in the act of driving. I'm not the act of driving.
Well,
yeah. What am I? What do you mean? You think it's me? I mean, I'm stopping. This has been documented. These lights have been.
They're all ginned up.
They are completely ginned up. They're short in terms of the where you're supposed to stop. They are. This is far from a foolproof system, and it is a way. It's a revenue generator. So I realize
that's your spiel before the judge. Don't worry.
Well, the one time I got one, I saw how bad it was on the video. But the other ones, if I had the time or the I want to put the effort in,
you'd go to court.
Yeah, but because didn't you say one time you fought something?
Yeah, they.
It
said
wasn't
that,
a court though. It was like an arbitrator or something.
No,
you say?
No, it was. I went to court because I got a ticket for my windows were too tinted, and they said I. When the vehicle sticker had those designs on them, I didn't like. I hate things in my windshield, so I'd cut off anything that I thought wasn't relevant to the window sticker.
So you love today's now?
Well, I can't tamper with them.
No, but now all it just is numbers and dates.
Yeah,
right?
But it's too big.
It is.
I like the size of a postage stamp. So the guy gave me a ticket. This whole thing was very weird because I had to go meet this guy in this neighborhood.
That's what I thought. It was like an arbitrator, though, right?
No. No, the way I got the ticket.
Oh.
Went to this guy's house. I was going to record something, and I was early, so I'm sitting out in my car with my wife, and this guy came out of another house, was walking his dogs, and he was staring at us like we were casing the neighborhood or something. Oh, okay, so? So I go in, do my thing, come out. I got the tickets. Obviously, he called the cops, saying, hey, there's a suspicious car with a couple people sitting in it.
Oh.
And the cop came by, ran the plates.
Bonnie and Clyde are in the car.
Yeah, exactly. So he couldn't find anything wrong, ran the plates probably, and thought, well, I'll give him something. The tinted windows and
That's ridiculous. And
the not altogether vehicle sticker. Well, I'm not as dumb as I look. I saved that part that I cut off for just that reason, and I put it back in, and I took a picture. And then I took a picture from within the car outside saying, how tinted are these? It's from the factory.
Right.
So I went to court, showed the judge the pictures. He goes, dismissed.
And
I told them there was snow on the windshield. They must not have seen the entire sticker.
But I remember dropping you off one time. And you said you went to some kind of an arbitrator or it wasn't really. And you had some kind of a traffic ticket thing? For some kind of a ticket. And you said it was like in a building. It wasn't in a courtroom.
Well, that could be.
Remember?
Because it's on, what is that street? It's on the near west side here. You're right. It's not the courthouse.
Right.
It is for
I
that.
Think it
that
was,
is. It is that. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, because I remember you saying that, geez, I didn't even go to like a real judge. I went to some guy and he looked and he said, okay.
When you get the ticket and it says you can fight this, either send a written reply or go to court, 98% of the written replies, you'll never get out of it. You got to at least make the effort to go to one of these hearings.
Well, I would be embarrassed, though, if I went and then they showed that video. And then you're...
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah. Well, you made the effort. You lost. That story... And by the way, I want to thank the people joining the program right now. I don't know what I'm trending at right now, but earlier, right at the start of the show,
yeah.
I think this is something. Maybe I'm I know Ramsey doesn't. He gave me all kinds of crap. This show, the Gary Meyer Show, was the number one show on TuneIn at 3 o'clock. There are 100,000 radio shows and stations that are monitored by this platform, and mine was number one, at least at the start of the show.
Hey, if you were Adam Carolla or you were Mark Maron, who have these podcasts, and that was them, believe you me, they would be touting
that. It's number one.
No kidding.
Even if it was for 2 minutes.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
For 2 minutes, you were number one.
100,000 shows and stations.
You had it and you went with it.
So I've made a copy. I'm going to frame that.
Yeah. That's the way you should build a show.
That has a lot to do with all that's happening here.
Although, I might caution you, because if you recall, the day before what's being termed now as the decision, back in May, on your opening, you said you are listening to the number one talk show
in the afternoon.
In the afternoon, the
number one talk show, Ursula.
Number one. And then the next day, you were on the internet.
Yeah. You're right. I might as well.
So you might want to just cool your jets on the self-promotion.
Tone down on that. As soon as I hear that. Because they have a you can't be too successful here policy. And I exceeded the success that they were looking for, and they busted me.
I mean, that was so weird. Because I remember the day before.
Well, I did get a lot of, after it happened, I did get some emails that said, didn't you just say your talk show was the number one in the afternoon?
The day before.
Yeah. And that story I had in the opening about the guy who super glued his hand to his Jimmy John.
Right.
Do we believe? Okay, that's bad enough. That's embarrassing enough. And your first thought is, I got to be on the TLC show. Sex sent me to the ER. Now you want to be on television to talk about this? And he is. It's tomorrow night.
They love it. Gotta be on.
How
TV.
Often have you kept a tube of super glue next to your bed? Because you were fixing a lamp.
Right.
That super glue.
Oh.
I know when I'm trying to put the feet back on my Dickensian figures for Christmas, because those things are so fragile. You look at them and all the arms come off.
Oh.
So you try to glue them back on and.
Constantly.
Just, yeah.
And that stays on there for 2 or 3 days where you almost feels like you have no fingertip.
Right.
Or fingerprints.
Finally washes off.
Yeah, you have no fingerprints.
So he kept the tube next to the lubricant for lovemaking.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Yeah. They were doing some kinky thing with crazy.
What kinky thing do you
some
do?
Some pain thing, probably.
Like
some,
what?
Well, maybe he sticks it on his hands and he sticks it on his self, or he sticks it on his partner and they're tugging. I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah.
Maybe you put it in an orifice. How do I know? But that's not, that glue is not out.
That put it in your orifice, Samuelson.
my wife Gloria.
If
and I
you will,
go to Jameson's. We love it.
Okay, on that same theme, a lot of this nonsense comes out of Japan. That story. That guy is out of Chicago, by the way. So we'll
the crazy
be represented.
Glue guy?
Yeah.
Oh dear. I hope I don't know him.
What's yeah, I don't know if it gives his name. They talk about the ER doctor who.
What did it say? What
they
the hospital?
It just says Chicago-based emergency room.
Okay.
And they don't tell anybody how they unloosened his hand from said thing. You got to watch the show tomorrow. This is just to get you to watch the show.
I might watch that because that would be good to know how they got that out. Because this way, when that happens at home.
Oh.
With your fingers, I mean.
Sure.
Not your privates, at least.
The doctor said this was a large amount of skin that was affixed together.
Yeah, see.
There wasn't just a small amount of glue.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one finger. It was, in fact, his entire palm and all his fingers.
Yeah, see.
Which were tightly affixed to his genitals.
See, something's going on here. Because that tube of crazy glue is not the same size as a tube of lube.
The patient's wife was impatient for the man to get his hand off his baby maker. So the doctor started researching ways to remove super glue. The most popular suggestion was nail polish remover. The problem with that is when you dump acetone on top of a wound that is partially open, it's incredibly painful.
It's got a sting.
Just the look in his eyes when I told him that, I could tell he didn't want to go down that route. Other options included applying hot, almost scalding water to the glue or simply waiting for the outer layer of skin to fall off. A process that might take 2 or 3 days. You're going to walk around like that for a couple days?
Now, bear with me on this. I would assume that if he had his palm in his hand, right?
His palm is in his...
I mean, his palm, yeah. All with this crazy glue, that he was in a certain state, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what about...
Illinois.
Whoa.
So when that state declined or decreased, wouldn't that glue not be as tight? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it was a certain size when the glue was on it, but then as the, you know...
But it's still stuck to little Elvis.
But how could it stick in the palm? Because it would fall out of your palm.
It wasn't in your palm. It's still stuck there.
But it's not the same size.
Okay. His wife wanted the quickest option possible and didn't seem concerned about how her hubby might feel.
That's nice.
She was more concerned about making the dinner than his level of comfort or the fact that she's in excruciating pain. He's in excruciating pain because he's super glued his baby maker.
Mm. I'm going to watch that show now.
Will be revealed. The end of it will be revealed tomorrow.
On TLC?
Yeah. You know, they do those crazy shows.
Yeah.
Half-ton teen.
Well, I can say that I turned them down. Thank you very much.
That wasn't TLC, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My Strange Obsession.
Because Elton Dibble,
Elton Dibble
likes to put crazy glue on various parts of his body.
Wow.
No, they were going to nab him for being...
An Elton John fan.
An Elton John stalker.
Yeah.
And they were going to make him look like a real doofus. You knew they were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I said, no, I can't.
And they found you because of that piece that's on VH1's website.
Right. It's on YouTube. It was on VH1, and now it's on YouTube. You go to Elton Jim, and you'll see this VH1 thing. But, yeah, so it was about a 5-7-8-minute vignette on me and my Elton obsession. And so this guy from that show must have been... scouring around somehow and found it, and so called me and said, would you like to be on our Strange Obsession shows? And so then I said, well, look, we're not here to make fun of you.
No.
Yeah.
That would have been my Strange Addiction episode, right?
Or Obsessions.
Or Obsessions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I said, look, I've got a reputation in the community.
Uh-huh. And it's one for my sweatpants fall down for some reason. That's my reputation.
I had those shorts on the other day, and I went out to the mailbox, and these two people were walking by, an elderly couple, and I was holding on to one side of it while I was opening the mailbox with the other, and I was struggling. And I saw the woman like, what is his problem? Why is he having such a hard time opening the mailbox?
And then they dropped.
Side of the house.
And then they dropped to
ground. But they would have if I had.
You don't want to get rid of these because...
They're so comfortable.
Yeah, because they're off
half
the time. So you can do a How's Your Father or something.
Well, they're just so comfortable. Because the string is...
How can they be comfortable if they're slipping down?
Well, because if they slip down... I mean, they're not... I mean, one time they were almost falling down. But they slip, but they're not... They would be a little... risque if I was in the house, they're okay, but to the general public, they're getting a little low. You know, I mean, I think, thank God I have a Brazilian, but you know,
a Brazilian excuses about everything. That's what you have.
But
we've got a neighbor who goes out to, because our mailboxes are on the street.
Oh,
so
see,
you
mine's
really
just
have to
on
walk
the side
down the driveway.
No, mine's just outside the door. I don't have to go out that much, but I still have to open the door and sort of.
But he
out.
Goes out in his jammy pants without a shirt, and
it's not good.
Who does?
Our neighbor across the street. How hard is it to throw a T-shirt on at least?
No, I don't do that.
That's wrong.
But I feel bad because sometimes, like you know. Because of the system, like when I sleep, all the hair goes all over the place.
And by all over the place, it's a...
No, it's on the head.
3 feet over there.
No, it's on my head.
A couple pieces are on the sink.
It's polyfused.
Stuck to a pillow.
It's polyfused to my head. But for some reason, the back lifts up. Like the hair in the back like lifts up almost like a woodpecker. And so sometimes I'll wake up in the
morning. Speaking of super glue.
So I'll wake up in the morning, I'll go get the paper, you know, and it's about 6 o'clock. So, you know, there's not that many people out and around, but we do have a lot of, we seem like we have a lot of walkers and joggers. And so sometimes I'll get out and the paper is not, you know, it's down a stair. So I have to go out
In your shorts.
And I got my
fall-down shorts.
And my bed fall-down shorts, and then I got my hair up like a woodpecker, and so these women have a little walking like group.
And then how many for sale signs go up in the neighborhood after they see you?
I just kind of run. I try to run back into the house real quick.
Yeah, you're precious.
But sometimes I will. But I will look outside the window before I go out to see if there's anyone coming.
Okay.
And then so sometimes I get burned because we have these columns in front of the house.
No, man.
And I look and I don't see them because like when I looked out the window, they were right behind the column.
God.
So then I open the door with my woodpecker hair and my shorts, and then there they are right in front of my house. And I'm like, ah!
Can I assume you've never had a block party on
your book? No. Well, we have, but we've done that. They've had that progression party.
You know, isn't he sounding more like Johnny just in his normal? Yeah, this is
Ursula.
Johnny's. This is the pitch is different, but the story
shorts are falling down.
Yeah.
Well, I have a pair of shorts, Gary. They don't stand up, and they fall down. But Ursula makes sure they don't fall down. No, and but we have a progression party at Christmas.
Well, like a progressive dinner.
Yeah, but we never go to it.
Of course. Why are you? I don't know why they didn't invite you.
Well, I don't think they have.
You move out after Halloween.
The last few things, I don't think they have because we've gone out and we've seen like the bags. That's how you know whose house to go to. They put the
luminaria,
the paper bags with the candles in them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, looks like somebody's having a progressive party.
Man, you're not invited.
But they know. We wouldn't go.
Okay. That's how he rationalizes the fact that he's not invited. We wouldn't go anyway.
We wouldn't go.
Yeah.
They're going to save you the trouble.
It's an homage to Billy Joel at the Rig.
Tonight. Within what? 8 o'clock? Hour and a half.
I got a text a few hours ago when we talked about Billy Joel. And mentioned that tomorrow it is Blake Shelton, probably keep the same stage for cost purposes. And then somebody texted and said, I was at the Pearl Jam concert that had that rain delay, and they got out of there at 2 in the morning, and there was another concert the next night. And that's why they couldn't possibly have their own stages.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
At least the staging, maybe the speakers and the amps,
no, all
but
that,
the actual stage.
The stage
came, yeah,
that wouldn't make any sense.
That's true, because if you go to the Allstate Arena, the stage is the stage. Regardless of what kind of speakers you have, there's a stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a standard thing. It folds. Put up about that high. And then this text at 312-521-8600 got a request for our son, who's aboard the USS America, Pink Houses by John Mellencamp. That's from Chuck in Lancaster, California. Glad to oblige on WGN.FM.
Ain't that a magic? You and me, ain't that a people and more people. What do they know? No, no. Go to work in some high rise and vacation down at the Gulf of Mexico. Oh yeah. And there's winners and there's losers, but there ain't no big deal, 'cause a simple man, baby, pays the thrills, the bills, the bills that kill.
GM on the Super Streamliner Blabbin' Cabin, Gearforce.fm.
What else you got?
It's got a lot of titles now. Here are the winners of the trivia contest today, who will be joining me on the 22nd floor on Thursday. Nicholas, Steinland, Christopher, Marie, and Roberto. They're going to be part of it. Five other pairs will be given out on Monday.
Were there five names there?
Yeah.
Oh. Didn't
see. I know, because one sounded like the last name.
Yeah.
That's how it's listed here. It's just Steinland.
Oh, that's
so there
a
must
guy.
Be some other name to that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, because I thought that was
yeah.
one name.
No.
Okay. Steinland.
So five more to be given out on Monday. I'll ask a trivia question around 6 o'clock, and then you will text your answer to C. Collins at WGNradio.com. C. Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S. At WGNradio.com, the first five to get in will be the final five pairs to give away for that broadcast.
And it sounds like your Whack Pack's going to be there, too.
Assembling the Whack Pack. I got Johnny from Michigan.
You're going to have Joe?
Joe, I got to get that settled so somebody picks her up.
I mean, in theory, I could.
Yeah, well, you might have to. That would be a car ride that you should tape. Yeah.
And then, of course, Matt wants to go.
Matt, the trivia guy.
Matt, the trivia guy.
Well, I got the start of a Whack Pack. Some are MIA.
Yeah.
That guy that talked like this. I haven't heard from him since I made
Gary,
the move.
His name is.
Yeah.
And then, what was that? Mushroom Steve?
Mushroom Steve, but he doesn't live around
he's
here.
In Texas, I think.
Danny from Elmwood Park.
Yeah.
Lisa from Oak
from
Park,
Logan
I think.
Lisa from Logan or something? Lisa from Logan.
Lisa that's, from Logan?
That's what it used to be. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
From, like, Logan Square, probably.
There's a guy in Japan. Oh, let me do the caption winners, too, while I'm doing this.
This is not the windmill one.
The windmill.
No.
Not the windmill.
That was 2 weeks ago. Windmill.
No, right. Windmill was this week.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, this was the windmill?
Yeah. The windmill.
Wow. I thought Holly I was making fun of that much longer.
Holly Jeskoviak of Maryville. Danny DeLillo of Orland Park and Roger Liss will all get either a Lou Malnati's gift card or a Rudy's Bar and Grill gift card. If I have more, I will send out several more. But right now, those three are guaranteed.
It sounds like you're going to be giving Johnny from Michigan a Lou Malnati's card because he made a specific request.
He's got to eat.
Want to go to Lou Malnati's or Paisano's?
Because I did in the past give him some gift cards to those places.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's
so,
why he got hooked on those.
Yeah, so you're like a pusher in the schoolyard.
Sure, you give it a little bit for free, and now I got to keep supplying. And this guy in Japan has turned his shower head into a girlfriend. Now, I know you're thinking, Yeah, I've got the nozzle that comes off the hook, too, but that's not what I'm talking about. He has actually put a mask on the shower head and like a camisole-looking thing.
And hung it from the
shower head.
Right.
And the nozzle is coming out of her mouth. And he's got her...
So she's spitting on him.
Spitting on him when he's washing his hair. And he's made little arms for her so he can have her hug him in the shower.
Like, what are the arms made of?
They look like tape.
Ooh.
Like duct tape.
Okay, that's...
But she's got a nightie on and a wig over the mask. Yeah, it's a full... blown showerhead girlfriend.
Well, you know what's funny on those, you know those blow-up dolls that they always used to
have? No, I've never heard of them.
The mouths on those are always weird. They're always kind of real big and round, you know, so it almost would look like you could put a nozzle through that.
Through the blow-up doll.
Through the mouth. The mouth was always...
Why do you think that is? I'll tell you, there's probably another area on there that's highlighted if you're interested.
I always noticed the mouth.
Yesterday, I think it was, I was talking about the crucifix at Holy Name.
Oh, yeah, you said how...
And then I got this email from Tony. It says, the Jesus at Holy Name is not a crucifix. He is set floating in the cross, not nailed to it, which was meant to represent the risen Jesus while still incorporating a cross.
So he's not on the cross?
Well, he's right. It is... like they carved Jesus out of the cross, embedded in the cross, but it's carved out. He's not nailed.
So he's kind of relieved. He's away from it.
Right. If you took a full block of wood, cut it into a cross, and then within the cross, cut Jesus in that.
Oh, in the actual cross.
You've never been there?
I don't remember seeing that.
Now you can't miss it. It's hanging above the altar.
No, I understand that, but I don't remember noticing the way it was cut. So it's of the cross?
Yeah. It's as, like I said, as if they
cut it out.
Cut it right into the cross. Like, that makes a difference. It's still...
Yeah. It's still pretty graphic.
Yeah. Right? I mean, he's got the ribs showing and...
Yeah, I remember being a little kid and remember those... I mean, there were some of those statues of him, like I said, with the... by the ribs. You know, they remember the one thing where they put the spear in his rib and then they would always have blood trickling... down his stomach from that wound.
Like,
oh, come on.
Not necessary.
We get it.
Right.
He was scourged. We got it.
When you consider that this $20 bill dispensed from an ATM you could even argue that this isn't paying it forward at all, but more of an unreasonable demand to an unwilling accomplice. In reality, it's only paying it forward if the recipient wants to buy drugs, but was looking for a shaky excuse. What they're referring to here is there's a $20 bill and somebody wrote on it. Have you seen a lot of this currency where people write on it?
Yeah.
Seems to be a fad now.
And I don't even like to spend it because I feel like the person's not going to take it.
What's written on it. Yeah. Sometimes I think, oh, that's good luck. So I put it in a drawer.
That's good luck.
This $20 bill was used to buy some weed. Please use for weed only or cocaine. Somebody wrote that on the bill. That's great.
This is truly drug money.
Yeah.
Do not use for any other purchase. Groceries, canned goods.
And then there's that whole, I don't know how big the group is, but they trace the bill, where it's gone, where it's been.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's
by the serial number.
That's actually pretty cool.
It is.
To see how it goes all over the place.
You've done this.
I haven't done it, but I think it's a cool idea to see just how long a bill is in circulation, the different hands that it gets into, and the different places it goes to. You don't think about that?
No. I mean, I think about all that, and then I wash my hands because it is filthy.
Well, you would love the money in Australia and New Zealand because it is made of a material that is waterproof. So you could wash the money.
I like that.
And it is fine. It's really cool.
31 adorable slang terms for carnal knowledge from the last 600 years.
600 years.
Give someone a green gown.
So what are we talking about? This
carnal knowledge.
Four, no, 1400s then?
1351.
Yeah. So about 700
All right.
years.
We're starting right from 600 years ago.
All right.
Play Nug-a-Nug. That's 1505. Play the...
Everything's play.
Play the Pier Dewey, 1512. Play at Coach Quail, 1521. Ride below the crupper.
Ah, see, now we're getting...
Yes, ride below the crupper.
See, now we're getting a little more graphic. I'm liking where we're going here.
Board a land carrack.
Board it.
Fadoodling.
Nice.
Okay. 1611.
Yeah, I like 1611.
Put the devil into hell.
Wow.
That's 1616. Night psychic. Prince'em Prance'em.
Prince'em Prance'em. Yes.
Culbertizing exercise.
I don't even know what that means.
Join paunches. Dance the Paphian jig. P-A-P-H-I-A-N. Paphian. Let's say Paphian. Paphian. P-H is F,
the
right?
Paphian jig.
Dance the Paphian jig.
Would ye like to dance the Paphian jig?
Play at Trey Trip of a Die.
Wow.
Dance Barnaby.
That's nice.
Shot Twixt Wind and Water. Play at Rantum Scantum. Blow off the ground sills. Play Hey Gammer Cook. Join Giblets.
Join, that's just it?
Yep.
Join Giblets?
1680.
I like that one.
Play at Rump Scuttle and Clapper de Poach. Clapper de Pouch, I think. Ramp Scuttle and Clapper de Pouch. Larry Compoop, 1694.
I don't know where that one's going.
Ride a dragon upon St. George.
Nice.
Yes.
Ride the dragon.
How McGandy. How McGandy.
I don't know how.
Pogue the horse. I'm sorry. Pogue the horn. Pogue the hone.
Pogue the hone.
Pogue the hone.
Oh,
H-O-N-E. Yeah. Hone.
Pogue,
pogue
the
hone.
I like that one.
Make feet for children's stockings.
Wow.
Dance the kipples.
Dance the kipples.
Have one's corn ground. here, we're getting into the 1800s here now.
Nice. I like that.
You're going to love this one. Horizontal refreshment.
Right. There you go. The horizontal bop.
Arrive at the end of the sentimental journey.
What year was that one?
1896. And in 1910, get one's ashes hauled.
All my ashes. Right in the ashes.
Who's up for some horizontal refreshment?
Who wants to dance Barnaby?
That's like those drunk terms.
Richard Strawberry.
This is going into the binder.
Oh, definitely.
My binder of phrases and things.
Dance Barnaby. There was a few good ones there. Right? I like the corn one. Crush my corn or something.
Where is that one?
That was a recent one.
Have one's corn ground.
Ground my corn.
Honey?
Would ye like to ground one's corn?
Or play Hey Cammer. Hey Cammer Cook. But Ride a Dragon upon St. George is good, too.
Ride a Dragon upon St. George.
Prince'em Prance'em.
That's cool. A little Prince'em Prance'em tonight here.
And Dance the Kipples. All right, you got something to work with this weekend.
Dance Barnaby. I like that one.
And then Get One's Ashes Hauled right now.
Boy, we've come a long way from what we say right now these days. Just, you know, get blanked.
And then this text, throw old Wes a bone. I don't know what era that was from. Okay. Thank you.
And it's still been done the same way.
Which
you could put a lot of different names on it.
Which pair of sunglasses did Johnny get from Bibble? You've got to give him a pair of glasses, even if you go.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it'll break his heart.
Maybe I'll buy it.
Johnny wanted a pair of.
All right, I'll buy a pair of
Bibble's glasses. He carries around a briefcase full of glasses that he changes them as he's driving.
Well, I'm in a different mood.
Now, with the time remaining, I want to bring something up. Yesterday, the cameras in the studio were unwrapped.
Yeah. You know why?
And something about a presentation for the sales department.
Oh, okay.
Today they're rewrapped, but the wrapping of the cameras look like, and I'm going to go with this, Ku Klux Klan's
definitely,
hoods.
Definitely.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. We should cut some eyes and a mouth in these and freak Brandmeier out.
Or just draw a face, or just, oh, yeah, maybe cut, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cut it.
And then he can come in, oh, man. I'm being watched by the Klan now.
Especially that one, right? Will be in his line of sight.
It looks like the hood of a Klan.
Yeah, that would be in the line of his line of sight too, because these are kind of upside down.
That's
ones.
True. Those are upside down, but that one is right in front of him.
And he'll see.
Let's cut that one to look like a Klan's looking at him.
I think I got a pair of scissors in
no,
there.
No, baby.
Hey, we're just
you guys
having
are
fun.
Mean.
Just
it's not
fun.
Mean. It's just funny.
We're all crazy in the stream.
Well, some are crazier than others, and when you stare at them in a hooded Klan,
yeah, that'll
robe,
get it. That'll wake them up on Monday. You got some scissors?
Mess them
Let's
up.
Let's do big. That.
Take this job and shove it.
After I spend time with Lord Strawberry, I'd like to get my, It says here I like to get my drag my ashes, but that's not how.
No, you have to ride the dragon upon St. George.
And get one's ashes hauled.
These are euphemisms for sex in the 1800s.
The last 600 years.
The last 600 years. Would ye like to ride the dragon upon St. George, Leslie?
Hey, now. Wow. You can report into HR for
HR.
That.
HR, that's it.
But it has to be on parchment paper with a quill when you file that report.
Would you like to dance Barnaby?
Or I would have to have a town crier tell HR about it.
Would ye like to dance Barnaby?
Would you like to put the devil into hell?
That was put the devil into hell.
Would you like
it
to
ain't hell?
Ride below the crupper?
That's a good.
Now that sounds like
what's
fun.
One about crushing your corn or something? Would you like to crush? It was
have one's corn ground.
Yeah. Would you like to ground my corn?
Or play at Rantum Scantum? Join
I'm
Giblets.
Getting all flibberty-jibbety.
Who wants to join Giblets?
Wes.
Would you like to join Giblets?
Hey, Gary, Wes from South Bend. I'm getting a kick out of you guys talking about this. I threw down the throw old Wes a bone about your 22nd
floor. That sounds like one
party.
Of those euphemisms right there.
He texted that to me.
Yeah, I did, actually. No, you said the whack pack and all this other stuff, and I said, well, hey, can I get in that somehow and throw Wes a bone? And that's how that came up. But, all this talk about corn, would one have to touch the cob to do such a thing? Or
Hey-o.
I don't know. Hey-o.
Watch your mouth, Wes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on. You know the rules.
All right.
If
all
there
right.
Are
well,
any.
You're free for them now. It's different.
That's right. That's what I thought until I got the memo.
Now you could dance.
Oh.
You have to be FCC compliant. Okay, FCC compliant. Although the FCC does not regulate the internet,
What's up with that?
I know. I wasn't going to do that much swearing anyway.
Well,
until
I'll
they started issuing those emails.
Yeah, now
hey, I got something for Leslie. This not to distract from the subject, but hey, Leslie,
why do you
want to
dance Barnaby too?
She wants to. He wants you to ride your dragon upon St. George.
No. If you want to know Leslie's name, it's LESLIEKEILING.
Yep.
That right?
Uh-huh.
you spouted it out years back, and I just it's never left me. I'm like, oh my God, if I ever was a school teacher, I'll know. I'll,
it's music.
I like, you got to have rules. James Woods, Tiger Woods, Carrie Wood.
Natalie Wood.
Ed Wood.
Would you like to ride George Strawberry? What is it?
Stop it. You're already in dangerous territory. We aren't. Thank you, Wes. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gary. You too.
Okay.
There was no FCC in the 1800s.
That's right.
These are all good. Fair game.
Giving the old man his supper.
Ah, nice.
Leave some candy, and I'm going to leave at that. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. See you in temple, mosque, or church. You pick. Back on Monday at 3 o'clock. And I'm ending with a song that is appropriate because the Blackhawks convention started today, and we want to hear.
Were we there?
shut your country scupper, or whatever that is. I hope to hear this a lot this season.
Would you like to join Giblets after the show, Gary?
On WGN.FM. Good night.